Yes.
I beg your pardon. I didn't have them. Yes, we are, Mayor. Thank you.
Great. Naomi, can you start the recording?
I just started, sir.
Great. I'm going to call the November 24th, 2020 regular meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order. And we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. If Councilmember Cavalieri would lead us, please.
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Cavalieri. Naomi, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Mayor Holtzclaw.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vanell.
Here.
Councilmember Bond.
Here.
Councilmember Cavalieri.
Here.
Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
Councilmember Bryles.
Here.
And Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
Thank you, Naomi. We will begin, as always, with the audience communications, opportunity to speak to the council. Anyone would like to speak, raise your hand, give a call out, and then state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes. Is there anyone on the call tonight that would like to speak to the council?
Since, hey, this is Joe, the IT person, tech. For the public, they need to unmute themselves with the Zoom. It's a little bit different than the GoToMeeting. We can send the ask to unmute. Thank or say in the chat if you need something.
Okay, am I hearing any takers? I am not seeing any, not hearing any. Are you guys checking the chat? Anyone in the chat saying anything?
Negative, Mayor.
Thank you. Hearing none, we will close the audience communication. There will be another opportunity at the end of the meeting. And we are going to go into our first public hearing tonight on proposed property tax changes for 2021. So I believe to start the proceedings, we need to have a motion put on the table to open the public hearing, please.
Motion to open the public hearing. Don't need to say what for.
Seconded.
I think we know what it's for. We'll reflect it in minutes correctly. Was there a second?
Yes, Adam seconded.
Thank you, Adam. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, so we are at item C. We had a motion and a second that was approved to open the public hearing on proposed property tax changes for 2021. I'll turn it over to City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. I've spoken with Mr. Ballantyne ahead of time. We have very, very minimal amount of comments. We would ask that the community refer to the prior presentations, and we are available for any questions from council after the public comments. Thank you. Jeff?
Thank you, City Manager. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. So what you'll see before you is two property tax initiatives. One ordinance is for the regular property tax with a 0% increase over 2020. And then for the EMS, it does have the 0.602% increase consistent with the IPD for 2021. You'll see an ordinance and a resolution for both. For the regular levy, it's a, like I said, a 0% increase, but you will see a slight increase due to construction. The new construction was $7,621.87, as well as refunds for $11,449.34. So that's a slight increase over last year in absolute dollars of 0.29%, but it's a 0% increase. Based on the normal levy. The EMS levy does have the full what we can take on the IPD at 0.602%, but it also does include the construction of $2,071.28 and refunds of $3,108.80. And this is consistent with what you see in our 2021-2022 proposed budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And those were all matters that were covered in more detail in the materials for the last meeting when we had the first of the two public hearings. So Is there any questions from the council before we open it up to public testimony? Any questions of the staff? Hearing and seeing none, I'll open the floor for public comment. Anyone wishing to testify on proposed property tax changes for 2021? Just raise your hand or jump in and vocalize that you'd like to speak to the council. When once, twice, three times. So I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, city manager, we close the public testimony. We need a motion to close it. We could have a motion to close the public testimony, moved. Please.
Move to close.
Seconded.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Anyone abstain? The motion carries. Before we move into the next public hearing, Michael, is it the intent that we take action, consider taking action under old business after we've completed the public hearings?
Yes, Mayor, that would be my recommendation.
Okay, so we will proceed to have the public hearing on the capital facilities, the CIP. And then at the conclusion of that, we will go to old business and take up the any proposed. Let me make sure I'm not jumping ahead. Yeah, I don't see it on there. So we will jump into discussion of potential action on the property taxes. So with that, we'll move to item D, public hearing on the 2021 to 2026 capital improvement plan. Can we have a motion to open the public hearing?
Motion to open the public hearing on the CIP plan.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the public hearing on the CIP is open. Turn it over to Michael and Director Todd for a brief presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. By way of an introduction, I just want to remind the council in Director Todd's presentation last session, we are contemplating a whole new model by which the administration will move projects along. Merely because the dollars have been allocated or parked in this capital plan does not mean that we interpret that as a green light to go ahead. We intend on moving each project through the concept phase, planning and scoping phase, and having a total of four separate phases, we will check in with City Council to ensure that we're continuing to reflect what the intention of City Council is with regard to each of these projects. So for example, if we're talking about part of the capital plan dollar allocation for Dobson Remillard, tonight is not the night for us to think that we have to make a decision about what exactly that project is going to be used for. What that property is going to be used for. That's going to be the subject of future retreats and many, many more discussions with council. This is a capital plan to allocate the dollars according to capital spending lines, but we as administration will not be moving forward unless we pass through all of the four phases. I say that in advance so that we don't devolve possibly into a mini retreat on some of these items where they're just simply not ripe yet for a more full vetting or a discussion relating to the concept or planning and scoping, et cetera. So with that said, I'll turn the floor over to Director Todd. Mike?
Yeah, thank you, City Manager. Thank you, Council, and Mayor Pro Tem. I'm gonna attempt to share my screen here. I can hit the share button, there we go. Everybody can see the slides okay?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Good, thank you. So I'm gonna, this is, some of this is gonna be review, but for the sake of our public hearing, we're gonna run through each of these projects. I'll do some of it kind of quick. If you've got clarifying questions along the way, feel free to ask them. I'll try to watch for that, although I can't see you all the way we're doing this, but I'll try to watch or just jump in, Council. So here we are, we're gonna be talking about the preliminary plan and hit the right button. It doesn't want to play. Got too many things running. Okay, so remember that this is a part of our comprehensive planning process under GMA. It's a way for us to plan and maintain the existing infrastructure and to provide for new services that our residents and businesses would desire of us. It's a 6-year plan, but 2 years of that is what we're talking about primarily tonight, so that it rolls into the budget that you're going to approve hopefully next week or sometime by the end of this calendar year. It's built up from requirements that have been planned for by staff and from community input. Although, as we've talked about before, this year, a lot of this plan has been rolled forward from things that were not completed in the last biennium. In future years, we hope to have more opportunity for community input, but our plate is frankly quite full from projects that were either overcommitted last biennium or by COVID. And so our plan is predominantly catching up on many things. Size to address the growth and desired new capabilities, but also it's got to fit the funding and our staff capacity to implement it. So you'll hear that some more tonight. Like the city manager said, it doesn't mean it's going to proceed. It just means that it is something that we need a placeholder in this budget, in this capital improvement plan, so we can move with it. And there's those four phases we talked about before. Concept phase, which is just an idea that you think is worth exploring. Scoping and planning, where we're going to spend a small amount of money to decide what is the exact definition of what we're looking for, how long would it take, when might we do that. Design is where we start spending more serious money, tens of thousands of dollars. We're going to go out and hire a consulting engineering firm, typically, to say, okay, what's the exact design going to be? Let's get together a bid package. And then once again, council's going to say, is it time to move on to the construction and implementation phase? Hopefully, between design and implementation, we're not changing our minds, but the idea is that along the way, if we say this is just going to be too darn expensive, or it's not going to fulfill our needs, or for some reason or other, we don't have the capacity to do that, there's always a chance to stop at each of these stages. That's what we're committing to you, is to give you more controls of the gate between each phase. Overall, Jeff and city manager and I have talked quite a bit about having a cautious approach for both the funding itself and the construction management costs. Right now we are short of engineers. We will be hiring some more engineering staff, and we'll be making use of consultants to do that construction management process. Jeff has those numbers rolled in. The numbers you'll still see tonight are all rolled into his budget. But again, this is all placeholders. It's an opportunity to move forward from here. We're rebuilding staff right now. My focus is getting back to some basic planning for the future and systems to make it so we can implement things better going forward, as opposed to one-off big projects. It's always fun to cut ribbons, but we have a lot of things that are based on our aging infrastructure. We need to keep a state of good repair. So you'll see in here some programs is going to be the focus to make sure we get those done versus a lot of projects. And here's the warning. There will be a test tonight. So you cannot go to the bathroom and skip out, because everybody will be expected. So I see Stephanie laughing. She thinks I'm joking. There will be a test. So here's the first set, our capital improvement projects in the transportation area. Here's a summary. Remember last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Mill Creek Boulevard corridor improvement study that's going on right now. We'll be completing that. Citywide traffic signal upgrade, that's a small project. Again, we'll be completing that. And we have been working on, although it got suspended during COVID and staff shortages, talking about the Spine Road up in eGov. And it's really just the phase one right-of-way only. This would be to look at the right-of-way that we need and how the stormwater works. But based on last week's discussion, we've added these things in there, and I'll have a couple of slides on those. Crosswalk upgrades, we talked about Jackson High School at length, but also the Mill Creek Elementary and Heatherwood are RFBs that were proposed before and came in too expensive. We do have this weird situation where we've got complete streets money. We have $300,000 that needs to be spent by next summer. It has to be based on complete streets fundamentals and pedestrian kinds of things. And so that's gonna be kind of open-ended. It's an odd duck. We'll talk about that one. And since last week's or 2 weeks ago meeting, these two things came up, and I think they're worthy of discussing briefly tonight if you'd like to. 35th Avenue, mid-block crossing. If you think about it, there's a long space that people do cross and would like to cross, and there's some reasons to do some future planning, so we'll talk about that. And somebody also brought up the street tree root conflict issue, so we'll talk about that. I don't have a lot of numbers on those, but I would like you to talk about it and give us some direction on whether we move that into concept phase. So here's each of these projects. You don't have to memorize all the details, but remember what the projects are, because you will be asked to say yes, no, or maybe to each of these things. So the first one here was that subarea study. Remember, we had $300,000 in funding. So long as we get this done by May 31st, that funding is available. So this is completing that study. The next one is this small one. This is a Snohomish County project. This is our piece of a bigger project that provides signal coordination that supports Swift and other traffic on the 527 and 164th corridor. That's all that's left to be done, small amount. Third one here, original plan was to spend about $500,000 in our previous CIP, potentially for acquiring the property and getting the appropriate easements. We have done a little bit of work this year. It was kind of paused, but we've spent some money. Somewhere between this year and next year, we will spend on the order of $100,000 in planning to do the design, to decide, okay, where would stormwater vaults go? Where would the road go? What easements do we need? How can we work with a farm development? How do we work with Advent Lutheran Church, et cetera, to make that available for us in the future to provide that road? But again, this has no funding for the construction of the project itself. That is in process, so I put that in the planning stage, planning and scoping. We are doing work on that one right now. Next up, so here's the new one. We talked at length last week about the Jackson High School. Where is it here? Somewhere here? I'm not seeing it. Trust me, it's in here. There it is. So the new thing is that RFP at Jackson High School between the athletic fields. So this goes from the baseball soccer complex up to where the track and the football field and the softball complex is. The original design that came in was very expensive, but there was interest expressed by council and by the school district in doing something up there. And so we're looking now at a scaled back project that still would at least include ADA ramps and a crosswalk, maybe would include solar RRFBs instead of the line powered and would come in cheaper. We're also looking at how you upgrade those existing units at Mill Creek and at Heatherwood so they're more operational, but take out the very expensive digging up the pavement, estimating that that would be on the under order of $140,000, less than half of what it was before. And so this is something that I put it back in the concept stage because we still need to do some definition, but the expression of council was that we want to talk about that. So think about that one. This is an expression. We've already spent $65,000 on design. We're trying to figure out what we can salvage of that design, but to be frank, that was went down a path that didn't agree with where council and the community were headed. So we're trying to avoid doing that kind of thing again in the future.
Is that 140 the Jackson project alone or all of those combined?
That's all three of those.
Okay.
Yeah. So real roughly, think about every time you think of an ADA ramp that can be on the order of $10,000, believe it or not, the RFB unit itself.
I believe it.
20 each side of the street, and they throw another 10 or 15, you kind of get half, most of that money, or the bigger half of that money is Jackson. Going and back and not changing the pavement at those other two locations could save some money. I'm sorry.
Mike, is this, sorry, thank you, Steph. Is this separate from the Terry Ryan project?
No.
Or is this included?
Yeah, so what I've done down here, it would be, so what we talked about last meeting was Terry Ryan and several of you expressed interest in having this sidewalk at Jackson High School. So I put this in here in terms of executing it. Our funding sources would be using some of our Complete Streets money, some of our Snohomish County grant, or all of it if we need to, and some City Streets fund. We've got those three things we can tap into to do this kind of project.
And when you refer to Snohomish County grant, that's the $100,000 that Terry has promised to fund this project. That's a question. I just want to make sure I'm on the same page with you.
Yes, it's that $100,000 where it gets a little weird, and not to draw it out, but that $100,000 in general, each of the council districts in 2020 had that money to award and use. I don't think any of the council districts actually had those projects executed. So in general, that same $100,000 was rolled forward to 2021. So new council member Mead is also involved in this, and he and ex-council member Ryan and I and others have all talked about how we can make this work. Our hope is to execute on this project and still have some money we can apply towards other things as well. But we're looking for a way that you, council, and the school district, and the county council members with their money and our Complete Streets money can pull off something great here that we're all going to be happy with and is an efficient use of taxpayer resources.
Good explanation, Mike.
Did that do it? Okay, we'll keep going. Next one here, Complete Streets improvements.
I cut Stephanie off. She had a comment. Stephanie, were you good there?
Well, I guess my concern was that it's getting muddled in with the other projects. I guess I had a concern about that by muddling it in, that the money could be given and it be used for the Mill Creek Elementary and the Heatherwood instead of the Jackson High School as intended.
I apologize. I did not think about that artifact. I was trying to look at the fact that these are three similar projects, but I understand your concern. We will, by the time you see this next, I'll see if I can figure out some way to split this up to make it clear that the Jackson one kind of goes with the Snohomish County money and the other two are going to probably use Complete Streets money. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, thank you.
I am too, thank you.
Thanks. It's a lot of this is really rough because we have not had a chance to do the design work. And like I said, I just talked to the designer from the previous project and said, what can we reuse? And the reality is we've got to go back to the drawing board. There was some unclear definition used in asking our consultant to do some work. So I really would feel better if we went back to the drawing board. So that's why I don't have very good numbers for you on this stuff. But my objective is to get this Jackson one done for well less than $100,000. Hopefully I have some money for a park that ex-Councilmember Ryan and Councilmember Mead could say that's a great use. I think fundamentally both of them have agreed the $100,000 is coming to Mill Creek for these kinds of projects. Our job is to use it efficiently and get the most bang for the buck. Moving forward to Complete Streets, this one is very nebulous, but because we've got this money, I put here 95 as the remainder of what might be left over after we do those other projects. That's kind of a guess, but I'm saying about 95, and my intention is to look at emphasizing routes to schools and identifying missing sidewalk segments, crosswalks, ADA ramps, doing some very clever things to say, let's make our sidewalks a little bit safer. $95,000 doesn't go very far to buying whole new hunks of sidewalk, but sir, there's some ideas along Heatherwood Drive that we could talk about another time, some specifics that I'd like to get you guys to, you and council to help generate some ideas there, but look for some things we could do to help delineate where kids are walking now on a shoulder only separated by a line of paint. Maybe there's some things we can do with some curbs and some other posts that would help out on that. So that's the idea behind this one. Next one, this is the new one that came up, the mid-block crosswalk. So I just put down here some ideas. We're talking about somewhere in the vicinity of North Point to somewhere in the vicinity of the Old Pacific Topsoils entrance. The closest legitimate crossings are clear up 132nd and clear down 148th by Mill Creek Elementary School. There is no other real legit crossing. In fact, there's places where it says do not cross, but people do. It's a straight road, so the sight distance are good, but people are traveling 35 miles an hour or more. And so we're looking for maybe some safer ways to do that. I don't know that this is critical for us to do in this year, but I'm proposing that we do some planning and thinking about this because the farm developer has purchased the Old Pacific Topsoils peat farm as his stormwater mitigation site. They're presently making that work better in terms of functional as a wetland. They're improving the trails. They will be done planting this fall. They have a five-year monitoring plan. During that five-year monitoring plan, we as a city have an opportunity to look for partners who would like to help us maintain that long-term and make just a really wonderful community asset.
Hey, Mike.
If it turns into a public park, we might want to get a sidewalk that goes to it. Councilmember Cavallari.
This is fantastic. And several citizens have expressed concern about this since the...
You froze, Vince.
Farm developer is...
You've got a horrible connection.
Putting an quasi-observed.
Better?
Vince, we've lost you entirely. We can't hear you, Vince.
You hear me?
Yep. He's gone entirely.
We'll come back to him when he returns. I can't see the whole screen, so I can't call in people. So if you have a question for as Mike proceeds, please jump in. I can't see the whole screen.
Yeah, I don't know how to make this. Oh, there. Oh, if you, Mr. Mayor, if you grab the lower right corner of the black box and stretch it, it makes it bigger, and then you see more people at once.
Do you want to try to join in back by telephone?
Yeah, but then I lose the slide.
I'm going to do it right now. Kirk and Joe Sokolowski, if we could temporarily open up access so that
someone can. The meeting's unlocked.
Yep. Yeah. Naomi's on it.
Very good.
Yeah.
And then Vince, once you join in, if it's possible as a redundant backup, dial in as well so that you at least have audio to continue. Very good. You know, man, Councilman Cavallari needs you to text him the ID and the password.
Will do.
Mr. Mayor, should I go ahead and come back to this one?
Stand by.
I'm going to go ahead and we'll come back to this when Mr. Cavallari is back on there. So this is programs. When we talked about projects and programs, these are programs that I'm going to pitch heavily for keeping a state of good repair. So these are things like our pavement preservation, street pavement marking, sidewalk, traffic safety, bridge monitoring. And I put this other idea of street root conflicts in the same category. It would be a program. We would assess what it is. And it's not something we do one time. It would be a continuing program. So moving through those again, I put these in the planning stage. You'll see here, kind of said, this is planning stage. We typically do this on an annual basis to say, what are we going to do? And it's going to be on the order of $750,000 a year for our pavement restoration and preservation projects. So this would be where we're going into an overlay in a few neighborhoods. We would do other kinds of crack sealing, whatever is efficient to keep our aging infrastructure in place. We've shown $75,000 worth of planning. It turns out that may roll into construction money if the numbers all work out for Jeff. It turns out I did not know that this was proceeding. I just connected with some people last week who are very late on delivering the project because their truck broke, but they just completed a complete survey of all of our roads and they are crunching the data now. And so instead of getting the data in my hands in August like we should have, we're going to get it close to the end of the year in January, but it's going to be a great set of data that's going to help us prioritize which pavement sections need to be done first, which are most efficient to pave, which are different methods to use. And so that $75,000 actually much of it was spent, will be spent in 2020, a little bit in 2021 when they complete their work. But again, this is an important state of good repair kind of program. The next one is street pavement marking. We typically spend on the order of $100,000 a year over history. You can see in the prior biennium, the number that Jeff's got rolling up, looking back, it looks like it's 220. The program this year, I think that was what was projected. The program this year was supposed to be 109, it came in at 79 because they missed a bunch of spots. And I said, let's save some money, let's not go back out there. So we just reduced and saved some money this year. But typically we'll look for about $100,000 worth of putting down new lines, putting down new RPMs, putting down new crosswalks, whatever it is it takes to make it so the traffic knows where to go and where people know where to go. Next one is concrete sidewalk replacement. Our typical approach has been to shave down trip hazards or replace cracked panels. As our city gets older and older, it's harder and harder to keep up with that. That will be something that definitely we want to talk with council. So while I've got this for planning money, I think there's going to be a lot of conversations about what do we want to do in terms of our policy moving forward. We cannot keep our city looking like it was in 1975 or 1980 or 85 when things were brand new. And so there'll be some opportunities for us to talk about in general the root issues and what do you do when things heave up and down over time. We have a lot of miles of sidewalk and we have a lot of ramps, and it turns out that the ADA Act keeps sneaking up on us. And so those, each of, as I said earlier, each of those ADA ramps is on the order of $10,000 by the time you design them and build them. So this money doesn't go very far when it comes down, comes time to do ADA ramps. So again, that's a program we need to continue doing. Next program is bridge monitoring and improvement. We've got 11 bridges. 35th is the 11th. We have to do certain things to maintain those. WashDOT looks at those and inspects them. Apparently we have two of those that have what's called a scouring condition where the water's washing away. And so this would be two projects, one in 21, 22, and then one out in the next biennium to look at those scouring conditions and figure out what we do need to do to preserve those bridges so that we don't have a failure in the future. Those are very rough numbers, just rolled forward from the previous biennium. Traffic safety and calming. This has been typically been a small project, a small program. Look at speed bumps or curb bulb outs, lines, signs, whatever it would be to help in neighborhoods where we've had traffic calming issues. This is not very much money. We haven't done it for a while. This would be, let's go out and assess where we are, look at our program. Program was effective, but it's a program from back in 2007. It's time to update that. So this would be money, update that. And then this would be a small amount of money to execute some of those programs in an ongoing fashion year after year. I threw this one in here. So the issue comes up is we've got places where trees are winning over sidewalks. And it really comes down to who wins. Does the sidewalk win or does the tree win? You can take the panel of the sidewalk, you can remove them or you can shave them or you can replace them. You can take the roots and you can prune them off or you can remove those trees. But at some point you have a conflict and how you deal with that is the issue for us. This was looked at back in, I think it was 2014 and 15. There was a policy that specified when we would shave a panel and when what we would do in terms of replacing trees. There was a pilot project that was done down the parks. It was considered expensive at the time, and it indeed was. It was about $3,000 a tree. I think at the time we did about 20 trees. The parks was the pilot project area because it had very narrow parking strips, and the trees that were placed by the developer were trees that were not happy being in a narrow space. Since then, Sherry Ringstad has done a fantastic job of putting together tree standards so that developers put in appropriate trees for the spaces that are there, but we have some legacy trees that are going to be a conflict over time. And that I think that council member's question that came in was, what do we want to do about this? I don't know what money to put into this yet. I put this in here as something we probably want to assess how bad the issue is, scope how big the problem is. And this is going to take a different, either partway through the biennium or a different biennium is going to have to look at doing this because at $3,000 a tree, it adds up pretty quick. There's a lot of street trees.
Hey, Mike.
So, yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
I won't speak to the other issue on 35th, but I'll speak to this one now since you're on it. The tree roots, the parks, the pilot project, all correct. And if we have a chance, if some of us want to get down there and take a peek, it's bad. And now what we're having is as some of the newer communities in our neighborhoods are starting to age a little bit, they're having the same effects. I know I received emails from citizens in Brighton. I received emails from citizens in Webster's Pond, where this is, it just happened that these trees were planted and we're stuck with it trying to clean up the mess. So at some point we're gonna have to have a kind of game plan to address this as it comes rather than continuing to kick the can down the road, because now it's $3,000 a tree and the parks, a beautiful flat community like that, it's technically unsafe, especially on the sidewalks. So thanks for bringing this up.
Yeah, and I think the assessment is the operative word there. You just mentioned parks and Brighton, both built back in the 90s, I believe, or early 2000s, before we realized that this was a problem. All those nice little trees looked great. Developers plopped them in there, good stuff. And then now we're smarter. So our new street tree list going forward is not going to have that problem. But Webster's Pond, too far ago. Brighton, too far ago. Parks, too far ago. So that we do have those problems. Yeah. Mr. Cavalier, going back, we missed all of your comments on the mid-block crossing. Would you like to want me to go back to that slide, or you just want to speak?
I can. Thanks for that, but I think I can speak to it. you know, when this was brought up to me, the mid-block crossing on 35th, I started to really put the pieces together that, I mean, there's more homes, there's more businesses. We now have a church on there. And we just put a brand new $1.8 million park on there. I think it's the time has come where we can't have a gap like that, like you spoke of, from 148th to 132nd, that distance. I mean, it's, I don't think that gap exists anywhere in the city where you have, where you can't cross the street safely. So I would rather address that. And I think it's very important. I'd rather address that now rather than later. If we have the opportunity, I'm just putting my opinion out there for the rest of council. Since we're finding a placeholder spot and doing the phase in approach, like we were talking here, I think this is the appropriate conversation. So thank you.
Yeah, I think the thing that has changed, potentially has changed, the Pacific Topsoils site was private. Didn't mean people didn't trespass on it, walking their dogs or whatever. We've all gone and poked our head in there one time or not. Or maybe not all, but some of us have. What's going to change potentially is if that becomes a public amenity, then we definitely will have a responsibility to help people get back and forth. Many years ago, there was nobody really living on the east side of 35th. And people were rolling the right side. So I think that was the original theory, was we don't need crosswalks because there's people aren't moving. It's private property, who would go there? I think if that park becomes a regional amenity and something we accept, then it makes a lot of sense for us to do it. So planning ahead, and thinking about doing that with some prior planning makes a lot of sense.
Good call, thank you.
Thanks. Down to parks and capital, parks and trails, capital improvements. We talked last week or last time, Silver Crest Park upgrade. That's one of the older parks that needs upgrade. There's a couple restroom picnic shelter buildings that may need new roofs or at least new gutters. They're looking a little shabby. The roofs are probably not that bad, but they just look bad. Trail preservation program. This is, again, a program where we're looking at a small amount of money per year to keep some of our trails that we need to maintain. Like, think of the North Creek Trail. It's a blacktop trail, not a sidewalk in a neighborhood, but it's a trail. This would be a similar kind of thing. How do we make sure those root damage areas get corrected for where it's the city's responsibility? This one is, frankly, North Creek Trail Study. This one was brought forward from the previous biennium. I frankly don't remember much about it. I don't think it was defined very much, but it is in there, and Jeff's got the numbers rolled up. And then we added this one in here at the request of several of you last time, that taking a look at conceptualizing what we as a city might do with Dobson, Remillard, Cook, and now the church property. We've kicked the can down the road, talked about a lot of different things. And as the city manager presaged earlier, we don't need to decide that tonight, but I'm going to propose we think about a process whereby we look at that and put a few dollars in there to facilitate that process. So Silver Crest Park upgrade, this would be upgrading the pavement, putting in some irrigation, fixing up the playground a little bit, picnic tables. There's a fence issue around it. Not a lot of money to change a lot of things, but it's a sizable amount of money. I think we can do something very easily for that, make that park a lot more useful to the neighborhood and easier for us to maintain. This is where those roofs come in. The original wording was that they need replacement. Well, Cougar Park is only about 10, 12 years old. That roof doesn't need replacing. It needs cleaning, but the gutters just look horrible because kids hang on them and tear them down. So we're looking at ways we would do that. So this $50,000 in 22 and $50,000 in 24 in the next biennium would allow us to be re-roofing and a few minor fixes like those gutters. So I'm confident that's adequate. Trail preservation program. $20,000 was an assessment. It turns out staff, Sherry Ringstead and Larry Seleska, were working on, let's take all those paths, let's look at all the HOAs, all the plat maps. Where is there a trail hidden away in some neighborhood that's the city's responsibility to repair? They've done a lot of that preparatory, collecting the data. This would be somebody going out really saying, okay, this has got this problem, and sizing how big that job would be. And then every couple of years, the thought was to put some money into it. Well, I put this in here, made Jeff nervous because I just jammed this in a few hours ago. But I just became aware that in the Brighton neighborhood, there is a path around their wetland / detention pond that is the city's responsibility. I never knew that. That path is in horrible shape. The cottonwood roots are this high. And so it's not just a minor trip hazard, it's dangerous. So I just jammed this in there. I just grabbed that number out of the air, that it could be fairly expensive for us to go back and fix that one. So I'm just trying to make the point that there may be more of these. We won't really know until we spend that money doing this assessment. But I just know from being out there last Friday, talking about some other pond issues, there's another one right around the corner. Next project. This was, I referred to this North Creek Trail study. I think the dream was to say this is a North Creek Trail is a regional trail. It goes all the way down to Bothell, Burt Gilman Trail and Sammamish River Trail. It goes all the way up to Everett and Painfield and everything. So I think the dream was to say, what could you do in terms of future development and improvements to make us more connected with the region? It was $75,000. It was supposed to have been spent in the last biennium, or could have been spent in the last biennium. It didn't go anywhere. I frankly am not so sure what this is, and that's, it's up to council and the community to decide, but I'll tell you that that one is not one of my high priority projects with my assessment, but it's up to you. And it would be a feasibility kind of thing. I think I got one more here. Yeah, so this is the conceptualization. So I said, this is a concept phase at the most, it would really be a conceptualization only. I suggest there's a retreat. I put $40,000 in here for surveying the community or doing some minimal studies. Staff could take and what we know about those properties in terms of wetlands we need to preserve or other restrictions. We could assemble some of that with some consultant support, not make a lot of fancy drawings, not generate a lot of new data, but collect what we already know, assemble that in preparation for a council retreat, council and city manager retreat. We would work on that. And I think it's going to take a bunch of time. And then maybe out of that, you'd say, okay, let's go do some surveys. This is not enough money for massive surveys. This is clever use of some small surveys to figure out how to get some real data about what do people want there. Is it, you know, parks, performing arts centers, hockey rink, you know, tiddlywink court, you know, whatever it's going to be, whatever you guys want to do. So the proposal, and what we've got it wrapped in there is just $40,000 to say support council in 2021 to do that. And I imagine as a result of that, you're going to come back and amend the CIP and say, we need $100,000 to do this and $300,000 to do that. And a bunch of millions out here to do something else. So that's all yet to be decided. Getting towards further down here, facilities. These are our buildings. We've got the historic preservation project that's halfway done. The Art and Beautification Board is done. HVAC in this building, City Hall North, is in a sad shape. We either decide to fix it or we decide to replace it. It's kind of tied in with the fact that the roof is getting the age of the end of its life. If you're going to redo the roof, you want to do the seismic retrofit at the same time. So this is a big project when you put those together. That needs to be conceptualized. Kicked this around for years, a public works workshop. So there was money in there last biennium for a study, no money in there for execution. We'll talk about that in a minute. The ADA upgrades of both City Hall and library, the doors and the buttons are wearing out. The money was put in there for those things. There was a plan by the police department to create an operations center, emergency operations center in this building in one location. Then it went to another location. Now I think we really need to go back and say, do we want to put it in a building that might have some roof and seismic issues, or doesn't have backup generators, or it's a second story location. So this again is going back and reconceptualizing what's important to us. And this one, gateway and presence improvement, this has been kicking around for two cycles and nothing's been done. It was proposing rebranding and then upgrading some signs. So you'll see that here in a minute.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, go ahead.
On the emergency ops center, I know we talked about that space on the second floor. I think that was the idea. With our new partnership with Snow 911, we may have some new opportunities to partner and relook at that with much less cost impacts to the city.
Yeah, so I think that's good. We'll get to that one, but I think that's why I put it back in the concept phase. It's time to go back and rethink what we can do. This one here, I put in construction phase. We got to get those panels are done. We got to get them mounted in a way that looks nice and is protected from the weather. There's some issues there. It's not trivial, but we are essentially in construction phase. You don't get to stop that one unless you just want to leave those panels over here in a closet. Next one, City Hall North HVAC. We had $80,000 and it shows that we spent it. We have not spent it yet. There was an RFP this year to replace four of the 20 something units in this building. some of which have failed. And we have not done that. We only got one bidder, and there's a good reason. It's a complicated project. We need to do more engineering to get a good bid back. But Jeff and I are looking at this and saying, maybe this is really $280,000 together to redo this whole system. This is a guess, but this is something that's necessary to do. Much of it is necessary to do, depending on how we want to use this building for city uses, or for tenant improvement spaces, or for an emergency operating center, or community space, whatever it's going to be. Right now, this building is 20-something years old. Those units are dying. They don't have much life left.
Hey, Mike, sorry to interrupt again. So on this HVAC project, I know that once you have a project in the works, it's not eligible for CARES money. If there's an addition or an addendum to the project where we're adding another 200 grand, does that make us eligible for some of the existing monies?
No, remember the CARES Act money has to be spent by the end of the year, that federal money we're talking about. So we did, I should back up a little bit. We spent, as a city, we spent money on air filtration units, both in City Hall South, City Hall North, and those have been placed. So those are in the duct work. So after it comes out of your furnace, before it blows around your house or blows around our office building, it's kind of a electrostatic or hydrogen peroxide in this case. There's ways they're sanitizing that air so it's cleaner than just going through a mechanical filter like you might have in your house. Those have all been completed. That's all been done with the CARES Act money. This is talking about the heat pump in your house just absolutely doesn't work. You call for heat, there is no heat. It's rotted out inside. There's four of those out of the 20 in this building that have failed, including the one that heats the space that I'm in over here. So we're trying to figure out, do we replace that, or do we, you know, just replace part of your furnace, or do you replace the whole furnace, and while you're at it, you decide we're going to go from gas to electric or heat pump or who knows what. So that's what this is about. It's a bigger deal.
Thank you.
Director Todd?
Go ahead.
I also have a question about the HVAC. Sure. Sorry, I just wanted to check, because when I read the description, it says that it's City Hall North and at the library.
Yes.
But the project name just says City Hall North. Does that matter? Does that have an impact on anything?
You're very good catch. That name doesn't mean anything. But the reason it says library is that the library also has a unit that's the end of its life.
Yes.
The library would like to replace theirs. We are having a discussion. Jeff and Matthew Combs are having a discussion with the library. There's talk about them taking on more responsibility for maintaining parts of that building. There's been kind of a fuzzy arrangement over the years. They're talking about taking on more of that. The deal might be that we buy them one more HVAC unit, and then they take on more of that interior maintenance. And so Jeff and Matthew Combs and I will be working on that. And so that is true. There's one unit at the library that is not dead yet, but it's not in good shape.
Perfect. Yeah, I know. I've been seeing throughout the year, I often see repair bills for it. So I just wanted to clarify that was really included in there. So
yeah, so it should say City Hall North and the one unit at the library.
Okay, thank you.
So have trust that it's down here. The roof has been maintained really well. This project, looking back at the history, it came up 4 or 5 years ago. They said, geez, based on chronological age, the roof is at its end of its life. And what it is, it's a tar, torch down roof. At some point, the tar just loses all its resiliency, starts cracking, it leaks everywhere. Turns out it wasn't as bad. It was imminent a couple of years ago. We had to replace it or it was going to be horrible. It turns out they've maintained it pretty well. We don't have any leaks right now, but it is coming up sometime soon. So we're looking at maybe pushing out to another 2 years. Seismic retrofit, the way you hook the building together is you drive bolts and screws down right through the roof sheathing. And so it makes sense to do that before you put a new roof on it. This is a total guess. I think that's probably high, but again, it depends what we're gonna do, supporting HVAC units, putting a new roof on, et cetera. So that's a healthy amount of money, but it's important. Again, I put this back in the concept phase because no planning has been done. This is just purely numbers using the cost assumptions that have been in the past. So I don't have a lot of, I think they're probably pretty good, but I don't have any validity on that yet. We've not gone that far. This one, as I said, we kicked it down the road. Once upon a time, we're going to go to the Silver Lake Water District property and buy that. And then when there was an idea, let's do something at Cook. It turned out it was very expensive. The site development costs at Cook were very, very expensive. It's not a level lot. It's got wetland issues. And so then we bounced back to doing something different. We had some money. There was a grant from the Department of Commerce, but it is tied to developing something at Cook. Not clear if we can get them to change it to something else. That's why I didn't put any money in for that. All we've committed to at this point is we're going back, this is staff from last year, said let's spend up to 50,000 bucks with consultants to look at different options. The fundamental problem is still there. We have equipment that needs to stay out of the weather. We have things like de-icer and sand and salt that needs to stay out of the weather. Those things right now, we're not in a good situation. And you've all seen them in City Hall parking lot. It's not very attractive and it's not good to have it that close to North Creek. So the idea would be to fix that in some fashion, but we're back to the concept stage. Namely, we're gonna do a study and look at what's going on. And that is high on my list to get this figured out because our opportunities to site something in Mill Creek become increasingly difficult to do as property gets more and more expensive if we have to go to a new piece of property.
Mike, question.
Go ahead.
Back on that one.
Yeah, thanks.
I know we had a long discussion. I thought we had agreement on a space that was over by the Lowe's hardware store.
Yeah.
Was that to be this space?
Yes. So that was the Silver Lake Water District. The long, long time ago, they had a tank in the front. Then they built a bigger tank in the back and they tore out the other tank. They had a little office building in the front. They don't use that office building anymore. So that site was available. Originally, we had no interest in that building, office building in the front. We had an interest in, essentially, it's a metal building that's got three double depth garage sites for six pieces of equipment and a little bathroom and a little space for the public works folks. And that was the original intent. It's not an ideal site, but it's not a bad site. And so we need to look at that. But there are some issues depending on what you want to do with it. But we're probably going to look at that again as one of our options. Go ahead, Councilmember.
We did not move ahead with that site.
We did not. We got an appraisal on it back, I think 2015, 16. Then we blew up that project, excuse my French, and went to the Cook property. And then that didn't work out very well. So then we have looked back at Silver Lake Water District, but it depends on who you talk to and what how hard you look at it to see if that's desirable or not. And in fact, what's happened in the last couple of months is that the Silver Lake Water District has spread out for COVID reasons. They've reoccupied some of that site. Not yet clear to us if they want to unload it long-term or not. City manager knows a little bit more. Go ahead, city manager.
Yeah, Councilman Steckler, to your point, we may have all recalled a conversation about negotiating a letter of intent. And we did obtained a recent appraisal. Both ourselves and Silver Lake Water District worked together to get a joint appraisal of the property. Then COVID hit. And in my last conversation with the head over at the Water District, he said that they are still interested, but they're not as in a hurry because they've spread out their due to COVID. So I would still like to move forward with at least negotiating the LOI. And if it's the council's intent for us to move forward beyond concept to at least secure our interest in that property, if by no other vehicle, perhaps an option, while we all see what happens in the economy. But your memory is accurate. We were in the process of obtaining an LOI, and then everything went sideways.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
City manager, couldn't we draft a new letter of intent with the water district? You know, whether it's this year, or next year.
Oh yes, absolutely. And that's something that Director Todd and I are working on. We have to gauge their interest. And I had this conversation approximately 2 months ago, and things may have changed on their end. So I still think that this would be something that I would recommend the city secure if it's the will of council that we proceed forward.
Okay, thank you.
The next one here, entry upgrades, we talked about this, was the ADA openers and related components are wearing out. With all of our passport business and all the library business, we have two very busy entrances. Staff felt those were wearing out. We're spending more an increasing amount of money on maintaining those. And so the thought was to replace those. That was a project that was slated for 2019, didn't happen. So I've just moved it forward. Again, that would be negotiated with the library on their building, but this would be our passport operations in City Hall South. If we move that to the north, maybe it doesn't make as much sense. So again, I've dropped it back to concept phase. It's not clear yet exactly what we want to do. I want to put it back to you to say, here's what this would be. Here's why we would do it. Here's what it would cost. Here's when we would do it. EOC, certain amount of equipment was purchased. Jeff's got it here. I think some of this was planned, but has not been purchased is what's reflected here. But overall, it's $60,000 worth of equipment. But this was equipment to populate a room. It didn't talk about the room. And we have questions now about where that room's going to be. And as Councilmember Cavallari said earlier, maybe some of our shared space with other tenants in our building, which might include Snow 911, might affect this. But again, with new chief coming on board, new thoughts about the suitability of this building, whether the HVAC works or whether there's emergency power, whether the roof's going to fail, whether it's going to fall over in an earthquake, all those things factor into this. So I think this is still an important thing for council to be engaged in, but we want to crawl, walk, run. We want to understand what we're doing before we jump into buying a bunch of equipment and plopping it in the closet and not having a place to execute or to implement it. This is the one I referred to. It turns out it goes way back, 1718 biennium. First place it appeared, I just moved this exactly over. So I don't know all the thinking that went in back in 1718, but it was strategy, research, and development on our brand. Talk about developing a brand, new brand identity and then going out and a very small number of dollars for gateway signs. My recollection is those signs were on the order of $40,000 a piece. They talk about up here, they talk about if you're just replacing pieces of it, maybe it's cheaper than it was before, but this amount of dollars maybe makes sense for us to talk about improving our gateway. We have places where I have the old wood signs with the old logo. We've got signs that need repainting. We probably could very easily use $130,000 to improve our gateway into our city and many things. I personally don't think it's split this way, but this is probably a good total amount of money to talk about potentially in this biennium, if it's the will of the council, to look at how do we dress up our front door, make sure that we don't have a peeling front door when you come in from Seattle Hill Road, you know, or from Dumas Road. We've got some old peeling signs that are not reflective of Mill Creek, but we are in COVID times, revenue is tough. Maybe this is not the time to dress it up too much. So this reflects maybe some planning in this year and some execution in 2022, but this one is very, very early concept and council would need to talk about what they would like to do with that. Again, a placeholder. Last but not least, the most expensive stuff we do these days, this is surface water. So it's funded by our surface water utility. So while these are huge numbers, this is one that where we do have money that comes in and balances against these, which is different than our streets, where we do not have a street fund that has very much money coming into it. This would be the big part of this is continuing our infrastructure program. Remember, we've replaced all of our F failures. We've done some of the C failures. We right now are designing some more C failures for next year's batch, but there's, I think they said originally like probably 6 to 8 batches of those. And then we will go look at smaller pipes. So 18 inches and smaller pipes that are not gonna cause the same danger to life or limb, but they are gonna take some money to go back and replace some of those. So we're up to working on the second or we're on the third batch of C failures this way. Catch basin and pipe cleaning program, we have fallen by the wayside. We are out of compliance. Potentially out of compliance by not doing this on a regular basis. We've got to reinstitute that program. And there's 2 ponds that need repair. So this is a surface water infrastructure program, put it in at $750,000 a year. That's funded by the surface water utility. This kind of reflects what we've been spending this biennium. This, like I said, the planning right now is being done for the batch that we would do here. So like it or not, we're already spending some design money before even starting last summer to start figuring out what the next batch would be of our C-grade faults. Next one is this catch basin and pipe cleaning. We used to do on the order of $100,000. We did a small amount in the prior biennium, but we probably didn't do enough. I'm just guessing that $100,000 a year is probably what it's going to take to get out there with a vacuum truck clean those out and repair them as needed, because that's an important, one of the important first elements in how the water falls down, runs across the street, ends up in the catch basin, goes down to a vault, goes to a pond, goes to North Creek. That's an important part of our keeping our permit up to date. I put that at planning stage because it's a program, something we need to do with this on every year. We would come to you each year with a batch of things sized to be about $100,000. The next two are these big ponds. It turns out that a number of years ago, back in 2012, we first became aware of this. If you look at back in history, the practice was to catch the rainwater and detain it so it didn't flood into the stream in a hurry and wash things out, but there was no water quality. We didn't let the sediments fall out. We didn't do anything to make the water to take the oil and sediment and the asbestos out of brake pads and things out of it. The worst one is 164th Street between North Creek and SR 527. So like between Albertsons and QFC, that short little stretch there. This would be a project to design and then build some sort of stormwater facility that improves the water quality. It's not cheap. But again, this is funded out of our surface water utility funds. That's in the funding that Jeff's put in there. Concept phase, because we have yet to even think about that other than we know that there's a need. Second one is similar. It turns out Mill Creek Road, east of 527, just coming down the hill, discharges right into Penny Creek. Again, there's no treatment of that. It's not quite as expensive a project in somebody's mind. I put that further out in the future, but we do need to be planning for that. And again, it's some surface water funds. So again, it's a concept. I put these on here. These have been in the plan. We are not funding these at this point. There's no assigned schedule of funding, but just for completeness, those were in the plan before in a similar state, things that we should be thinking about long-term. The spine road itself, we talked about that earlier, the right-of-way and the stormwater. We're working on doing that in this biennium, $500,000 to get that right-of-way secured, but actually constructing the road would take some more creative financing and some planning and some decisions on your part. So that is in here. Down here, Old Seattle Hill Road and 527, there was a dream to have a traffic light down there. That happens to be on one side of the road at Snohomish County. On our side of the road, it's the city. The road itself is a state highway, so it's not a trivial thing to do, but there was some desire to do that. People heard that from the past when there was unfortunately, young was hit at that location. And this one has been talked about over the years too. The intersection of 164th and Mill Creek Boulevard is something we've recognized. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of left turn on that flashing yellow. That's always a conflict in the evening or the late afternoon, early evening rush hour. We put this one on hold because this is going to be dependent on what we decide whether Mill Creek Boulevard subarea study. So you can see this one after we figure out we're going to do that study. This one will probably be the first one to pop up to be a future funding need. These other ones are big intersections that as you see more traffic, you would look at the intersections of highways and our major entrances in and out of Mill Creek would be ones you'd look at. And I'm gonna go through these real quickly because they're not in this biennium. Oh, I'm not even gonna do it. They're available, but we're not even gonna look at those because we don't have those funded. So here we are, I apologize for hurrying, but right now, theoretically we'd ask clarifying questions, prioritize the needs. We're gonna look at our capacity. Finance is going to adjust the funding. This makes Jeff real nervous. I'll talk about that in a second. Really, we still are open to inputs, but we're going to be, this is going to be an iterative process in this biennium where we look at our financial condition, our staff capacity, and what we think we can get done. And so we'll have our opportunities periodically to go back and revisit this as you decide what's important. And at Complete Streets, we will talk about that in a future session, more specific ideas. But if you've got ideas about a missing sidewalk, a missing crosswalk, a missing ADA ramp that's really important, particularly to get the kids to school, I'm looking for those ideas because we need to get that done quickly. Adoption, that will happen next week, is part of the budget. If you take the numbers tonight when you pass the test, if we take the numbers tonight, Jeff will be a very happy man because the numbers he's already got rolled into the budget. If you change them very much, his hair will turn gray or it might even fall out. I heard that discussion earlier. I'm worried about Jeff's hair. So no, you are welcome to discuss anything you want to discuss, but our proposal, this is mostly placeholders, and you can see with our concept planning, design and implementation approach, you're gonna have lots of bites at the apple to decide how we move forward. So think placeholders, think about overall funding. Everything you've seen tonight does add up and fits into the budget that, that Jeff has presented and that you'll be have an opportunity to pass on December 1st. And tonight there was a quiz. It's only 28 yes, no questions. If we can't get through it for time basis, I may have to make some assumptions. We'll see how that goes, but I really would love the council to see if you can get to yeses or nos on those 28 different projects I just talked about. At that point, I'm gonna ask for clarifying questions, then I'm gonna let the mayor turn it back to the public to make their inputs.
Yeah, let's, if there's any further clarifying questions, we'll take those, and then we'll take some public testimony. And then once we've taken the public testimony, we'll open the floor to take Mike's quiz or provide any comments or discussion of any particular item. So are there any further clarifying questions for Mike on the proposed CIP? I can't see. Pardon the interruption. Hearing none, we will open the floor to public testimony. Would anyone member of the public like to make comment on the proposed CIP tonight? When once, twice, can we have a motion to close the public testimony portion of the hearing on the CIP, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I saw seven hands and heard seven ayes, so the motion passes. So the public testimony is closed. That does not foreclose the public from submitting written comments. It just means you can't verbally testify tonight. So with that, we'll open the floor to discussion, comments, and maybe the way to take the quiz is not to go through everyone, but as to if anyone has one that they strongly think should be a no, bring that up for discussion.
I see Councilmember Cavallari's got his hand up in case the mayor can't
see.
Yeah,
my dogs are going crazy downstairs, so I was trying to keep them from interrupting. So Councilmember Cavallari.
Thank you, Mayor. Director Todd, while we still got you here, can you give us a guesstimate of what a mid-block crossing would cost on 35th, just some idea with the ADA accessibility and whatnot?
If what made them so expensive last time was digging up a lot of sidewalk and a lot of pavement to run station power, line power. If you use the solar units, it's probably $80,000 to $100,000. If you start digging up streets like our brand new bridge, figure 150 or more is what we proved. And I don't think we need to do that. I will tell you, I went out, there's an RRFB on Seattle Hill Road. It's gonna be replaced because it's not the latest and greatest, and that's a federal money project. But I went out there and said, I wonder what happens if you just continuously push this button and see how long it takes for the battery to run out on a dark winter day. So it didn't have a lot of electricity. Well, I gave up after 100 presses, 47 minutes, I got to run continuously. I think they worked fine. I think solar works a lot of places. You see them all over the place. So I think that where there's trees, we may run into issues. If we don't replace the batteries, we may run into issues. Long answer, but I think for $100,000, we can get that. The newest units that use LED, they don't suck up as much power. I think it would work just fine out there. So think a round number, $100,000.
Okay, thank you.
Steckler, it looks like.
Councilmember Steckler.
Councilmember Steckler, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mike, I only had one question in one area, and that was on the Spine Road. And I bring this one up because I recall the agonizing conversations we had about the Spine Road when the farm was going in, about completing this or not completing it. As I understand now, they completed the road behind over to behind the Lutheran Church. I believe that's 43rd or 40-something, that street. So we're talking about cutting that thing through to Seattle Hill Road, correct?
No. So to the east of the Lutheran Church, the road goes down to Buffalo Park. That's all been completed as part of the Polygon development a number of years ago. South of the Lutheran Church, there's a missing segment. You go one building to the west and you get to, help me out, it's the lawyer's office, Gateway Building? Pratt's Gateway Building. That is, that right away has been dedicated, but the road's not been built. You go one more, and we call it the Rim Kim property. It's right outside a hair salon. It's a residential kind of property. That one we need, would need to buy the right of way. The next one over is Vintage. The road exists there. Next one over is the farm. The road exists there. So there's two pieces, the Rim Kim property and the Advent Lutheran Church, where we would need to buy the right of way to complete that east-west piece. They'll complete the road from the farm on the west to Advent Lutheran / Buffalo Farm Park, that Brighton School, or whatever that school is right there. That would be connected. So the idea is to get people off of 132nd, slow them down, move them through that area so we can have commercial development.
So that this is the spine road that would connect to that street by the Lutheran Church.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah. And where we got confused a couple of years ago there, a long time ago, there was a plan to go from where Buffalo Park is through to Seattle Hill Road.
Right.
And that kind of got precluded. It's just not a very viable thing anymore. And we decided as a council a couple of years ago that just it's not worth doing that. Forget that part.
So the right of way you're asking for is just the right of way to complete it to the 40, I believe it's 43rd. Is that correct?
That sounds about right.
I think so. Okay. So it's So it's just to complete what's already been approved. Okay.
Yeah.
That clarifies my question.
Yeah.
The connection out to Seattle Hill Road was previously identified as phase two of the spine road. And we took that out of the CIP, I believe, last time around 2 years ago.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, we took it out. I just wanted to clarify. So it's 500,000 just for the right away of those two little spaces.
That's what we put away. I don't know how accurate that number was. We would go to a right of way agent and have them talk to those property owners. The design that we need to do is not just for the road right away, because that's just a 50 foot wide hunk of road.
Yeah.
You also need to think about all that impervious surface from that road. Where does that stormwater go? Where do you put a vault or a pond or a set of big pipes or whatever? And so we're also looking at this, a lot of design work is what would you do to deal with the stormwater from the new pieces of road that might get built by us or by somebody. And it turns out Advent Lutheran Church, when you take that piece of right away, it wipes out their existing pond. And so this is not a trivial stormwater problem as well. I think that $500,000 was felt by somebody to be enough for us to work on this problem collectively, both the right away, some design, some thinking about how we would set that up.
Answers my question, thanks.
Thank you. Other questions?
Just a couple comments, Mike. I realize it's been 2.5 months since you took over as director, and you did a heck of a lot of work in that 2.5 months to pull this together. So thank you for all your efforts on that.
Excellent job.
On Dobson Remillard, I'm glad we have this in the CIP. Let's recall, and we haven't just been kicking this down the can, but we've identified this as a key to our economic development strategy going forward. So it's time for us in the coming year to start that process, to have a discussion as a council and then with the community on what we might do with that. So I'm glad that we're finally getting that going. Oh, and just generally on the process, I very much like the phasing concept that you've put forward, and I hope we continue this in the future. I can think of the one example that particularly stands out is the crosswalk up on 132nd. That I think it got laid into the, where's your schedule, into planning and maybe even into the beginning of design before it really came to us. And that was several years ago before the current administration, but I think that caused a lot of consternation between the council and the staff. And so I think this process will help make sure that we're all on the same page from the outset so we don't have those conflicts going forward. So I'm all in favor of that process. I think it's a good one. Councilmember Cavalieri.
Just one more thing. If we're trying to maybe move a couple of bucks around to maybe get the Jackson High School crosswalk and perhaps even this 35th crosswalk with grants monies and potential available monies, I think we can probably take out the public work piece of the roof replacement on Cougar Park of $50,000. I don't think it's necessary. I think the testimony from Director Todd was that it just needs some cleaning and dusting off. So if we're not going to allocate and spend that money or intend on spending it in 21-22, let's just move it to something more practical and something we could use today.
Yeah, so I'm circling. So Cougar Park was this one in 24. 22 was the, what's the park down in the parks? What's the name of the park?
Parkside.
Parkside. My brain just gave up.
No, the parks is,
it's anyway, the Parkside.
Pinecrest and Pine Meadows.
Yeah, so Pine Meadows is older. That one might need replacing. That was the first one here that was in 22. I think that's still a healthy amount of money, but the Cougar Park was this one. So Councilmember Cavallari, nice idea, but that doesn't help us in the near term, I don't think. But I good idea.
All right.
Any other comments, any of the projects that anyone would encourage us to pull off of the list? Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a quick comment. I was curious, you indicated the funds for the North Creek Trail study that you weren't quite sure where those were from. I'd be interested in you finding out if that was money that had already been awarded to us to investigate that or not, because I think that would actually, I would be personally interested in studying the North Creek Trail. And I think that that also would have a little bit of, could have some impact in what we're discussing on some of our conversations for the sub area, since that is actually enhancing the North Creek Trail as part of that discussion that we're having. So I do think that that's important if those funds are out there and already promised to us that we look into them. So
yeah, so here's the trick. I went too fast and I switched presentations. I can't go back. So that was $75,000 staff thought they would spend, but there was no funding for it.
Okay. So thank you.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't look for funding for those kinds of things. I'll tell you that it's hard to find trail money in general. The state has trails programs from time to time, but it's hard to do that because a lot of people have got bigger projects that have been waiting in line. Doesn't mean we shouldn't look at it, but to be clear, that was somebody saying $75,000 to do a study, but there was no money to go with it. Okay. It would have taken money out of your REIT fund or your general fund balances. So doesn't mean we shouldn't think about it. It's not like we're missing a grant opportunity though.
Okay, thank you for clarification.
Yeah. And so I think what the mayor's proposed, what I would love to do is have all these filled in, yes or no. I'm fine, and actually Jeff is happy if we fill these in all yes. The only ones I filled in yes is things that are already in implementation phase or all things that we're already working on that I'd hate to have you stop. The ones in yellow are the programs that I would urge you strongly to say, yes, $750,000 a year is a good number based on our past. That's what we want to put into pavement management because we need to do that. So I would strongly recommend the things in yellow as being programs. That leaves a few of these as other ones to, the green ones are the new ones. The pinkish is the ones that were there that looking for a yay or nay. And again, we're happy if you say yes. Remember, what really is the gating function is this column over here. So all the ones we're moving forward on are implementation. Other things, we owe you an answer to come back and figure out.
Hear that, Mike?
Look, you're referencing your screen, which we don't have in front of us.
Oh, you're not seeing that one?
No.
Well, that's not good. I apologize. This is the test. I didn't let you see the test. There you go. A really busy spreadsheet. So sorry. So looking for yeses in this column, this is showing the phase of the projects. This is the name of all those projects. Here's what the 21-22 budget was for those. Yellow again are programs. They're good, state of good repair things. Non-yellow is projects. The green are the new ones that were added since last time we met. And I apologize terribly. I didn't know you didn't see my screen. But again, this is the column. If we took all these numbers this way, this is what Jeff already has. 3.5 million in 21, 3.7 million in 22 is the numbers he's got figured into his budget. So if you accept the budget or inclined to accept the budget the way he's got it, he could afford all this stuff. This $7 million is the typical kind of number we have been able to spend in the past. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago where staff tried to take on $11 million for this stuff. That didn't go so well. Seven is still aggressive. There's still a lot of projects. I'm still concerned about our ability to manage these, but I think they all make sense. I think it's worth us looking at these in terms of phase. If you want to move something from concept on, we have money to do that. So this is setting the stage, making placeholders for us to move forward with, I think, is a very reasonable program. All of these are still subject to you saying yes, other than the ones I've already filled in the yes for, because I hate to stop something we already have in process. Looks like
Mike, one other approach that we could take, can't we, is we don't have to decide tonight or in adopting the CIP, but we can always have discussions on priorities after we adopt this. So for instance, there's 75,000 in here for the North Creek Trail Study. I don't know, it's a discussion we need to have today of where that fits in the priorities above Dobson-Remillard, but we could always choose if we wanted to move forward first with Dobson-Remillard and push that back later into the cycle or possibly into the next CIP. So there are ways to move money around without making changes to this.
Yes, in general, unless it is the kind of money, you can't take streets money and turn it into parks or vice versa. But in general, yes, you're right. If it's in this category, you probably could take that 75 and move it from a trail study to a study on Dobson-Remillard. You can't take stormwater money and move it into transportation projects.
Right. But with limitations, there is some opportunity for us to prioritize things and, as we move forward, move things around and free some money up potentially.
Exactly, yes. And that's what Jeff and we've all been talking about, being very flexible this year, more check-ins with council about what do you want to do and looking at the economy. You know, things might be horrible in March or they might be great. We might be saying feel more comfortable about starting projects. If we are the same, I'll be honest, if we're at the same place next summer as we are today, I'm concerned about taking on all these projects because executing projects under COVID has been harder. The contractors are happy to have the business. We're happy to have them have the jobs, but it takes longer. It's more difficult. And so that's one of the things that happened to staff this biennium was took on a lot of projects and then COVID hit. It just made everything harder to do.
Is there some benefit to moving forward with some of the capital or city facilities projects, improvements to the buildings, why the building access is limited?
That's an excellent question. Yes. And I think there's a broader discussion here between the HVAC, the roof, the seismic retrofits, where the EOC might go. If we want to just leave this building empty because everybody's working at home, we just turn off the lights and the heat and oh well, who cares? We put that off for a while. If we think there's an opportunity to revitalize this building and rent it out, then we ought to do that. But right now we're kind of in this limbo situation where we have not very many tenants, partly because of COVID, partly because our space is not rentable. And so we need to make a decision about best use of this asset, all of our assets, but this asset in particular is the one I'm mostly acutely involved in. But you're right, maybe we say, let's not do this until we're sure it makes sense to do it.
I'm not hearing a lot of questions about the particular projects.
I have a question, sorry, Mayor.
Okay, go ahead.
Mike, I just noticed this. I wanted to bring it up, line number 32, the Historical Preservation Project. Just to make sure I'm correct on this, I want to make sure you're getting the right information. That is the signs that are going on the bridge, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So those signs have been completed. We are going to pay for the metal this year. We believe that the city is going to fabricate or weld on the actual assembly of the apparatus to hang the signs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that $25,000 will be needed for the preservation project.
That is possible. You're right. I think that's way healthy. I think we were talking about 12.5 has already been spent, and 12.5 might be yet to be spent this year. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but my building services kind of folks here reminded me that we probably need a permit for that sign.
Yeah, we probably do.
For our own development. And we probably ought to make sure it's not going to fall off and kill somebody. So we are probably not ready just to weld the stuff up there. And it turns out that the glass top over the bridge, it doesn't protect where these might hang. And so there's some other little details that we need to figure out. So it may take us some time to get that done, but you're right. There's probably extra money in this. This money is one of those that's kind of special. It's an art beautification fund. And so you can't take that money and move it to something else. You could move it to a sculpture that art and beautification fund would apply to, but you couldn't move that to HVAC project.
Well, and that answers my next question, because there were some other projects that were being looked at that aren't, I don't see funded here. So I would prefer to keep it in the CIP.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, like you said, the bridge itself is in some repair needs. Mm-hmm. So we could use that money to enhance that and make it safer for people to look at these things. So
yeah,
I just want to make sure you and I are in total communication about the money. So I think we're okay with leaving it there, but just so you understand what it would be used for.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think this is, to be honest, this is an artifact of, if it isn't $25,000, it's not a capital project. So this is, there was $25,000 for that project, which has kind of floated around in years. We spent part of it. It probably should have been better reflected as 25 total, 12.5 was already spent, 12.5 is here. But that particular project doesn't tie back to Jeff's accounting system very well yet. But it's still under construction on how we tie these numbers back to his new accounting system.
Okay.
You caught us. Thanks.
Mike, if there's no other questions on the amounts that are proposed or the projects, should we?
I have one.
Councilmember Cavalieri, I can't see the whole screen. So.
Sorry, Mayor. I should have spoke up or hit the button. So I'm guessing, since we're all in agreement that the Emergency Operations Center is probably something that's kind of redundant at this point, I'm for pulling the $38,404 and allocating it somewhere else where there's more of a need, until we have a better understanding of what we're doing with it and what our partnerships look like.
Do we know that we're not going to need it?
I think we talked about it earlier, and we've talked about it before, that it was someone else's dream. It was one of those mid-block crossing on 132nd issues, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, but Mayor, I can add that there's much to be debated about the wisdom of locating the Emergency Operations Center in a building itself on the second floor in the middle of the room, the middle of the warehouse, in a building that's not seismically reinforced. In fact, some of the better practices for emergency management would have a mobile vehicle with a redundant backup for a number of emergency functions so that it can be located anywhere depending upon the emergency. The big worry here is that in the event of an earthquake, that EOC center would be useless. I also believe that there's merit to us re-exploring the possible partnership with Snow 911 and other partner agencies, that in a truly a regional emergency, we're going to be relying upon each other already. I'm not sure that this was planned out. I can tell you that some of the equipment had already been purchased for an emergency operations center. And right now we're looking to repurpose it, if it's the will of council, we scrap this project. Even if the council decides not to scrap it and keep this money allocated, the technology is aging in boxes as we speak. It was purchased just before I became the city manager. It was purchased in excess of the spending authority of the department. And the spending was packaged in a way in three separate purchased items so that it fell under the purchasing threshold. I spoke with the leadership at the time about it. And since that time, that equipment has been sitting in storage. We don't see, and it, nor is it advisable to locate an emergency operations center in that building. I've toured emergency operations centers in the region, and I'm frankly not prepared to make a case to council that there's a great utility for it of a city of this size in the different major emergencies that I've been a part of in my professional career. The premium is placed on mobility and flexibility with regard to how the communications occur. And again, if we truly have a regional emergency, there's already plenty of apparatus in this region that would facilitate that communication planning.
So there's 38 grand that hasn't, that's allocated in this CIP that comes from the CIP fund. So that would be unrestricted. We could use it for any project, correct?
I think so.
I mean, if that's the case, would a more prudent course be to leave this in with the understanding that our will of the council probably is not going to be to proceed with it? But this way, Jeff wouldn't have to adjust the numbers. And we know that we could reallocate that money during the next biennium if we chose not to move forward with that project.
And my only goal was, I know we're talking about a bunch of things here and a bunch of what ifs. And if the what if question I would ask is, what if we could make everybody happy that contributed some grant money to one project by Jackson High School, and whatever's left over, maybe we move towards 35th, same kind of goal, same kind of concept, and kick another 38 grand or whatever toward it. I think that's the best use of the taxpayer dollar. So if leaving it in there, just as, you know, a kind of, I guess, placeholder gets us there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think between now and next week, we're not going to be able to figure out where we want to put that or where it should go. So I'd recommend we just leave it. It sounds like the consensus is we may not want to proceed with it. And I think this is the type of issue it would be worthwhile to have a study session early in January just to kind of prioritize these things and have these conversations to give staff direction on, you know, what our priorities are amongst these various projects and which ones we want them to get going on.
Yeah, so that's that
are there any
concept phase. Sorry, sort of.
I'm sorry, Mike, I couldn't.
Well, I was going to say, so that's it, indeed, that's why it was already being implemented when the city manager arrived in town. It kind of got paused, and that's why I put it clear back to concept phase. It means you as council need to figure out what the requirements are based on staff. A new chief may say, I really need this. I need $25,000 to do something really clever. So it's there to address this need. I'm not saying there isn't a need for emergency operation capability. I think this particular execution, there's questions about it. But this concept phase means you as council get a chance to talk about that definition and overall budget before we do anything more.
I prefer to leave it there and let the new chief come on and hear, give him some time to see what he's wanting to do and formulate plans, and then we can sit and go through and decide how to reallocate the money.
I agree. Any further final comments so we can wrap this up? And I can't, Mike, could you unshare the screen so we can get everyone back on? Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, hearing nothing further. Oh, Vince is just adjusting his camera. Okay, so that will conclude our discussion tonight on the CIP. Now, even though we don't have it specifically identified, we will open the floor for discussion and any motion on the property tax levies for 2021. So remember, we have to take two separate actions. And even if we elect to not increase the property tax levy, one or either of them, we still have to take action. Action technically is setting the levy for 2021. The floor is open. for motions. I'd urge someone to put a motion on the table to so we can have a discussion.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I was taking a look at the documents here. I would make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2020-865, fixing the amount of regular property taxes to be levied in the sum of $6,533,567.04 versus the 2020 and levy the same upon all taxable property, both real and personal, in the city of Mill Creek for collection of 2021. Second.
Seconded.
Okay, Andy, so this is the regular property tax levy. Any discussion? Could I ask the city attorney or the city manager a point of clarification? I know I've seen this before, but I forget. It refers to both real and personal and utility. What's the reference to utility?
Grant, I'll need your help there, please.
If we had a utility tax, we don't have one.
Yeah, that's what I was wanting to make sure we're being clear on.
Yeah, it only applies to any utility property that's taxable.
Okay.
And it's consistent with what you've done in the past.
Okay.
So to put a clarification for me, this is the EMS property tax or the...
No, this is the regular property tax levy.
I'm trying to find the regular property tax levy in the amount of $6.5 million on this
what
list.
Do you mean? That's in front of us. That's ordinance 2020-865 that has been moved for adoption.
2865.
It,
it's the second line, yeah, section
it, got
C.
It, got it.
Are you good, John? You get your question answered?
I did. So this one is keeping the property taxes where they are, correct?
No increase, that's correct.
Yeah, no increase.
Well, with the caveat, isn't there a slight adjustment for the construction?
That is correct.
So that's the reference in the agenda summary to the 0.029% or whatever that was. But this basically, it's not increasing the regular property tax levy. For 2020.
It's a positive in our direction. We are, just to make it clear for the folks tuning in, we are not raising property taxes. That's we could raise it 0.6. We can't do the 1%, but we could do an amount a little under that. We are opting not to do any property tax increase. In light of the circumstances, we don't think it's appropriate.
For the general property tax levy, we may make a different decision on the EMS levy, which is also a property tax.
Correct.
That is correct. And I will be in favor of that tax increase to fund fire service.
Any further discussion on the motion to approve ordinance 2020-865? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The motion is passed 7-0. Is there a motion regarding the EMS levy for 2021?
So do we want to adopt a resolution 593 as well? Or is that... I'm sorry, 866.
You would approve that resolution, yes.
So 866, again, is no EMS property tax increase, and 594 is the property EMS property tax increase, correct?
No, what Councilmember Caballero is referring to on the regular property tax ordinance that you just adopted, 2020-865, there's a resolution as well for the regular property tax. That resolution number is 2020-593. So correct. He's suggesting that at this point, perhaps we move to approve that resolution.
That's correct. Thank you for that clarification. I forgot there is a separate resolution that needs to go in tandem with the ordinance. So before we move on to a motion on the EMS levy, we need a motion on resolution 2020-593.
So I'll make the motion to approve 2020-93, a resolution of intent authorizing an increase in regular property tax revenue for collection in 2021. The sum of $6,533,567.04 versus 2020.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion passes. Resolution is adopted 7-0. Now we will move to the EMS levy. So I believe the proper procedure here to adopt the resolution before we adopt the ordinance, or does it matter?
Adopt the ordinance first.
Go ahead, Mr. Ballantyne.
I apologize. Yeah, you routinely adopt the ordinance first and then approve the resolution.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mayor, I'll go ahead and make the motion to adopt ordinance number 2020-866, an ordinance fixing the amount of EMS property taxes to be levied at the sum of $1,742,992.84 and levying the same upon all taxable property, both real and personal, in the city of Mill Creek, Washington, for collection in 2021.
That's not the ordinance I have in front of me. Mine says $6,533,000.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That's the first ordinance to go with property, not EMS. I believe I'm correct. Correct, Finance Manager.
No, we passed 865, which is a regular property tax levy, and it looks like the form of 866 that I have in front of me in the caption refers to the $6,553,000 number.
Same.
Which would not be correct.
Same here.
Same.
So the one I have, so I think there was an update. So I think that was fixed. So the updated one has the $1,742,000.
Michael, was there an updated version that was? We need to make sure we all have the same ordinance. And
Councilman Cavallari is correct. It should be the $1,742,992.84.
Yes, that's also what I see on the agenda that you find on the website, accessed as of like 2 hours ago.
I accessed it 2 hours ago. That's not what I'm seeing. So
same here.
But the information below, the ordinance itself hasn't been changed for me, but below section one identifies the 1,742,000. So, all right. So the ordinance he's proposing is correct. So that's good.
Okay. So the one we have that references the 6.533 at the top. Mm-hmm. In section one, as Mark just said, has the amount of 1.742, which is the correct amount, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So the form of the motion would be that the ordinance 866 would be, if it needs to be amended or not amended, corrected to make sure that the number in the heading of the ordinance matches the number in the body of section one.
So I think the motion was correct, and the only thing we would need is a second at this point.
Seconded.
Mayor, but if Councilmember Cavallari could restate the motion with the correct amount so we have it in the record correctly.
Yeah, sure. He did state the correct amount. I was just pointing out that what I was reading was incorrect.
No, you're right, and that is exactly what I read earlier. So, I mean, that's why I know it was updated. But I'll do it again. No worries. Motion to adopt ordinance number 2020-866, an ordinance fixing the amount of EMS property taxes to be levied in the sum of $1,742,992.84 and levying the same upon all taxable property, both real and personal, in the city of Mill Creek, Washington, for collection in 2021.
Seconded.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Just, Mayor, sorry. You're zipping along good. And I'm in favor of getting done early, but I do have a comment.
I didn't see it, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Was there a discussion? Did you have a comment?
I just want to comment because we do have people that have taken time out of their night to come and listen to us, and they have a right to know what we're thinking and why we're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm in favor of this fairly modest increase because there's no doubt in my mind that we're negotiating, in the process of negotiating with District 7. They're going to need more money. Their costs have gone up. Their issues are still there. Every dime of this increase will go towards that. And so I'm comfortable that I believe the taxpayers support and rely heavily on the safety net that our fire service provides us. And this money will go directly to maintaining that infrastructure and meeting those expenses. We will still be subsidizing a significant amount of that cost from our general fund, but these taxes collected go directly toward that service. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Scanning the Hollywood squares to make sure I'm not missing anyone. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, I will now call the question. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The motion passes 7-0.
Now Mayor, I would also move to approve resolution number 2020-594, a resolution of intent authorizing an increase in EMS property tax revenue for collection in 2021 in the sum of $1,742,992.84.
Second.
Can I ask a question of Grant and Michael? Is the number in section one correct? I saw a period and thought it was a comma. Never mind.
So
any discussion on the motion?
Yeah, the resolution I'm looking at is obviously different than what Councilmember Cavallari just said. I'm a little uncomfortable with this because it'd be nice if we could get these to where we're all looking at the same thing. I mean, I know we're all saying the same thing.
Well, what is not the same?
There is an error in the number in section one, at least the one I'm seeing right now.
I just checked with our clerk. There's only been one version of this, and I'm struggling to reconcile why there's different numbers. We apologize.
I'm not sure there's an inconsistency. All section one says is the amount of with the motion that we passed, it would increase the EMS levy, the total collections, by a little over $10,000. That's right. Stated in section one, and in the whereas it references the total amount of EMS levy that would be collected. So the increase that we approved amounts to a little over $10,000 total.
Okay, I was referring to the resolution that I'm looking at here. Resolution verbiage versus the resolution verbiage that Councilmember Cavallari just read. So
Councilmember Steckley, the amount parrots exactly the ordinance number 2020-866.
Correct.
So yes, Councilmember Steckler is correct. Some of us are looking, we are refreshing the website. We are going to the same source. We are looking at a different document. I don't know how that's happened, but I'm not. My numbers are, I've refreshed it.
Well, as far as the motion goes, I'll assure you I've given the same exact number as I did in the original ordinance, 2020-866.
Right. And in section one of that ordinance, it states the actual amount there. Just in the title of it, it's incorrect.
Yeah. Correct.
I'm sure you're accurate, Councilman Cavallari. I'm just uncomfortable that I'm saying yes, I vote yes on something I don't see in front of me.
Councilmember Morgan's correct. What's happening is the title where everything is bolded has the other levy number or the amount in there. It has 6 million in there. But when you go down to section one, it has the right number in there. So I think that's where there's some confusion.
I think the confusion is where the proposed motion as opposed to what the actual ordinance or resolution, how it's stated, but the information is within the whereas in the section. So I think that's where people are getting confused because you're reading what the proposed motion on the agenda summary, and then you think it should say exactly the same thing as the title, but it does not because it's in the body of the ordinance or the resolution. Does that make sense? So that it's not incorrect. We didn't put different, there wasn't another version of these resolutions. There was only one upload and it was never changed. The only thing that did change was the agenda to add on the executive session for the after this meeting.
Mayor.
Yes.
So that is correct. In resolution 2020-594, the amount of the regular levy is stated correctly in the fourth whereas at $1,742,992.84. And in section one of the resolution down below, it has the dollar amount of the what the dollar amount of that increase is and what is and how it's calculated. So the numbers are correct in the resolution itself.
Everyone?
Anybody want to second it?
Second it.
I was going to say, I think Adam did.
Yeah, he did.
Mayor Pro Tem seconded it.
Yes, she did.
So is everyone good and comfortable? John?
If my attorney is sitting here going, I'm comfortable, then I'm comfortable.
Well, okay. Help me understand what the version is that you guys are looking at says, because I guess the way I'd suggest is that if we could amend the motion to approve the resolution with direction to the city manager and city attorney to make sure that the resolution numbers are consistent with the ordinance that we already passed.
I think that's a good idea. I think that'd be a very good idea. Just so that we all have the same verbiage in front of us, because we obviously have different verbiage. I don't know why it's different.
Yeah,
there weren't any changes. I don't know why we have different.
That kind of sounds a little sloppy. Mike had his hand up to say something. Director Todd, can you enlighten us?
Yeah, the title is wrong. The body is correct. Look at the title. It has the 655 number in it. The body has the 17 number in it. It's the title is wrong.
Right.
Body is correct.
Vince,
error. Fix that.
Vince, when you read something, yep. Did you read it verbatim? I took the actual numbers and put it down. That's what I was wondering. It looked like you were reading it, but you just made notes and wrote the correct motion. All right, there we go. That's the difference.
That's
what got me confused.
He's not reading it. He's quoting what it should be, what it's saying, but not what's written.
The resolution I'm looking at doesn't have any numbers in the.
So page 3 of your agenda package, 3 of 114, has the 4 actions for tonight. An ordinance and a resolution, that lines up with what Councilmember Cavallari read. Those are the correct numbers. If you're looking at the actual ordinances resolutions, the title is wrong on a couple of those.
No, only on one. Everybody's getting confused. So ordinance number 2020-866, the title is incorrect with 6.5 million. We discussed that before. For the EMS. So we've already went through that. The resolution is correct. There is no dollar in the title. I think we're getting confused with the ordinance versus the resolution.
Correct. Because when Vince was reading his motion, he added the numbers for us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I couldn't, it didn't match up with what I was reading here. And now I understand.
That's what got me too.
Yeah. So, Mayor, I'm not confused anymore. I'm comfortable.
Everyone okay proceeding?
I think I'm comfortable, yeah.
Vince, your motion was to essentially approve resolution 2020-594 as it was presented, regardless of how you read it. It was presented correctly. You read it wrong.
I like it. Yes, what he said.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The motion carries. Thank you, Everett. Thank you, Jeff, City Manager, everyone, for your work on all of that. One item of new business on the agenda tonight, the appointments to the Arts and Beautification Board. Councilmember Steckler, are you handling that, or is Councilmember Briles?
I am handling that as the liaison, and Councilmember Briles is going to help me. Both Councilmember Briles and I, along with a member of the Arts and Beautification Committee, held a number of interviews earlier today to fill 4 open positions on the Arts and Beautification Board or Committee. And Naomi helped me to make sure I do this correctly, because I've never had this many at one time. But I assume I just propose the following 4 people that Councilmember Briles will concur, and then we vote. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh my gosh. I should do this for a living. All right. I'm very happy to propose the following 4 individuals. We have 1 returning member, Jean Smart, a retired educator and principal, and 3 new members, all obviously Mill Creek residents. Shoshana Molman, a professional actress and singer who lives here in Mill Creek and is joining. Jamie Barrett, who is a retired FBI agent and is going to her second career as a landscape architect and has a beautiful passion for the beautification of our landscapes. And Ravi Ubriani, who is a dermatologist, but more importantly, a lover of the horticulture and agriculture and landscaping of our community. So with that, I propose those 4. Councilmember Briles?
Concur.
Can you state that as a motion that Councilmember Briles can second?
Make the motion that we appoint the 4 people I just announced to the 4 vacant positions on the Arts and Beautification Committee.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The appointments to the Arts and Beautification Board are passed. Move on to the consent agenda. Item F, approval of checks number 62657 through 62726, and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $569,242.80. Audit Committee is Mayor Pro Tem Vignol and Councilmember Briles. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Item G, payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $242,779.51. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Okay, on to reports. I just had 3 items. 1 I'm going to hold off on when the city manager gets to talking about the events from Sunday. The SCT Snohomish County tomorrow meeting that was scheduled for November has been canceled, so there won't be anything to report on that at our next meeting. And the only other thing I'll mention is, you know, as you know, I speak with a lot of Cub Scout and Boy Scout troops, and spoke with Weeblo's Den from Pack 11 last week for about a half an hour. And I forgot to bring them over here, but it was the first group of scouts in my 7 years of being on the council that actually sent me handwritten and crayons thank you notes. And I want to share those with you next time, because they were very cool. And especially with everything going on with the elections, it was neat to see. So
that's really cool.
I will share those at our meeting next week. Mayor Pro Tem, any report tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. I also have a few comments I would like to wait and reserve for after we have the presentation from the city manager and probably Acting Chief Phillips, possibly. And also, I'm forgetting because we had the meeting, we weren't the week that we're not in session. I believe this is the first meeting we've been back since Veterans Day. And I just want to thank all our volunteers, and especially Barb Heidel, all our officers, everyone who worked so hard. Cora and I went up and looked at the display, and it was well done. And lots of people were riding by and slowing down and looking at the display. And so I just want to thank them for all their hard work, because all our volunteers, you make us what we are. So thank you for all that hard work. And I also got to talk to some Girl Scouts this week, which was really fun. They wanted to talk to women in city government to earn their government badge. So that was a really fun time to talk to some middle school girls and answer all their questions about what we do on city council. So they were kind of fun. So I will reserve the rest of my comments till after the other reports that are coming this evening. Thank you.
Councilmember Bond, any report tonight?
No report, just a comment. Thank you to staff on the budget. Budgets are challenging under the best of circumstances, and this year was uniquely challenging for a variety of reasons, COVID just being a very small piece of it. But Michael and your staff, Jeff, appreciate all the work you did to get this thing done and to make it understandable for us. And good job by staff. Thank you so much.
Councilmember Steckler, any report tonight?
No report, but one comment. I did want to echo to the city staff that they're my thanks to them for all the work on the budgets. And as everyone knows, I had a long list of questions after our last budget meeting. I wanted to publicly thank Mr. Ballantyne, who did provide a very complete response to each and every one of those questions. So all of my questions were answered, and I appreciate that. I just do appreciate the work that everybody's doing. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. I don't have a report, but I do have some quick comments. I appreciate the staff's work. Mike and Jeff, you've been very accessible and very attentive to council needs, and it's encouraging, it's refreshing, all the above. I really like the phase-in process on the items that we're putting up there. That is really helpful, and it's a great way to track, and I think we'll all be better for it. And I'm also excited for the city manager's announcement. Thanks.
Councilmember Bryles.
No report. I also just have a few comments. I want to echo the report, what everyone else has been saying about how great this work has been, that we've gotten such a complete view of our budget and everything ahead of us, and really helping us clearly understand what we're going to need to do there. And additionally, this week being Thanksgiving, I actually want to make note of something in particular for giving thanks here in our community. Our volunteers who make this community so friendly and so livable. For example, those who step up to join our committees and boards, the community volunteer organizations, and those residents who donate time and treasure to those who are less fortunate in our community. Just wanted to say I really appreciate you and what you are doing in our community to make it so great. So thank you very much to all of you.
Councilmember Morgan, any report tonight?
Nothing to report. Just sending my thanks to everybody in the community.
Michael, before I turn it over to you, you have a lot to cover in your reports, and we're at 8:07. I don't want to interrupt anything. Should we go ahead and extend the meeting till 9 now?
Yes, Mayor, that I would recommend that. I also want to note that Mayor Pro Tem Vignell got shut out. We have already, I've worked with Naomi to reopen our security so that she can re-enter. So we're working hard to provide her access again to come in.
And we have an executive session on the agenda, correct?
That is correct, Mayor. I don't anticipate it should be longer than 10 minutes.
That's fine. I would suggest we have a motion to extend the meeting till 9:30. That will give us more than enough time.
So moved.
Ugh, 9:30.
Doesn't remember.
Seconded.
Vince, it's just to avoid having to extend it again.
I know. My stomach's just growling.
Turn off your camera and go get something to eat. Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of extending the regular meeting to 9:30, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It looks as if Mayor Pro Tem is not yet back with us, so that motion passed 6-0.
And she's texted me that she's rebooting to try and resolve the technical issue on her computer.
Wait just a second before we jump into the reports, because I know she wants to be here for those items.
For what it's worth, the Zoom is still better than the GoTo meetings.
Thank you.
Hear, hear.
I feel like I've been more accurately heard since we switched over, I have to say. Thank you.
Your sound is much better.
It is.
I've been using the same microphone. I don't know what to tell you.
I like it because it's easier to change the background.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, wow.
Looks like your head's on fire there.
Yeah.
and just little things in life.
Please note for executive session, there will be a breakout room that you have already been assigned to, so you won't have to do anything. Just join the breakout room.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Naomi, is there a breakout room that should be shown up on the bottom of the screen?
So, yeah, I was just going to say that the breakout room in the top left-hand corner, it's kind of faded, but right now, if you look, you'll see that it says Zoom meeting on the top left-hand corner. Do you see that?
No.
Says Zoom.
So it's above all your all the video of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the little icon of Zoom meeting, right?
Nope, I don't see it on my screen.
We haven't had time to test with tablets to see exactly where the buttons are.
Okay. I did label the breakout room as executive session. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you will be able to come out of the executive session by on the right hand side there, it'll say either leave meeting or leave breakout room. You want to just leave the breakout room. If you leave the meeting, you'll have to.
How do you find the breakout room?
Yeah, I'm not seeing
the link either. Yeah, no link on mine either.
Okay, I will be sending you into the breakout room. And you'll have a white screen that'll pop up and it'll say join breakout room. You'll just have to say yes.
Okay. We trust you.
I think he just likes saying breakout room.
My second grader has figured this out, so I think we'll be able to.
Oh, don't get it.
You'd think.
That's
but,
unfair, man. Yeah. He's got an advantage.
I wish I had a second grader to help me through this.
Mayor Pro Tem, did
you
join?
Best part of having kids, the tech
support. Hey, yes, it looks like the internet has totally went down. So So I don't know if anybody else is having internet problems, but Comcast just died. So
okay.
I'm here on the phone.
Okay, very good.
City Manager, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem and members of council. We get to a discussion about the very commendable way in which the City of Mill Creek Police Department conducted themselves this weekend. It is with great honor, after an extensive national search, frankly, a grueling process, that the committee put all the candidates through, that Mr. Jeffrey Young rose to the top clearly and decisively to be the next police chief for the city of Mill Creek. He has tested and performed well under pressure in different situations. He's proving himself to be dynamic, engaging, and approachable. He is decisive, and he's also an innovative law enforcement professional with demonstrated examples. And he's also been a practitioner of transformational and participative leadership. He has exceptional administrative and operational skills as well. I'm impressed by his proficiency in modern police principles, practices and techniques of police administration. He's well-versed, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, the pillars of modern policing and the 21st century policing model. He's organized and has worked in community engagement in crime prevention. Among some of his notable accomplishments were in running security in a supervisory role for many major sporting events in Arizona, where he has worked for the last 25 years as a law enforcement professional. He worked as a strike team leader, for example, on Super Bowl 49. He has taught tactics and has just really impressed myself and the members of the selection committee as someone that's both versatile with the technical, but has not lost common sense nor humility. He's also a veteran that has honorably served in the military. He served in the Army as well as a sergeant in the National Guard, Army National Guard Reserves. I would say that what we will receive in Jeff Young's leadership is a humble leader who's also open to ideas, new ideas, and is accessible. He has impressed me as someone that puts his cards face up on the table and listens as well as he can speak and explain himself. He's a graduate of the FBI Executive Leadership Institute. He enrolled in the Command Leadership Institute. He has a proficient in multiple incident management teams. He also works with the Homeland Department of Homeland Security, emergency planning and management, intelligence awareness, also proficient in active shooter and bomb-making materials awareness. It is with great honor that I present to the City Council of the City of Mill Creek, Mr. Jeff Young is our next police chief for the City of Mill Creek. Mr. Young?
Welcome.
Welcome, Chief. I wish it was under different circumstances that we could be meeting you in person and welcoming you. And I hope, look forward to an opportunity for each one of us to get a chance to, if not sit down with you in person, sit down with you in a virtual room. But I don't know if you wanted to say a few words tonight.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'd like to just say thank you. And I am completely humbled, honored, and thrilled to be coming in as the next police chief for the City of Mill Creek. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity.
Great, it's exciting news.
Mayor, what I would add, which I omitted and I apologize, is that Jeff Young holds a master's degree in public administration from Webster University at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona, and also a Bachelor of Science degree in Human Services from the Wayland Baptist University. Just for the media, we have prepared a very rough draft of the press release. My intention is to follow the following sequence: that the City Council meets our Chief Young, I can say now. We are going to be meeting with the staff of the police department tomorrow. I've already had preliminary meetings with both Acting Chief Phillips as well as the Police Guild Union leadership. And my intention then is to provide a more detailed informational to the community, as I've mentioned, is in draft form. If there's nothing further at this time, I'd like to move on to talk about just a little bit about what happened this, not only this past weekend, but the two weekends before. It all started with Acting Chief Phillips reaching out and meeting with representatives of Town and Country, the corporation that owns and operates the supermarket here in the city of Mill Creek here, right on Main Street. We are, I'm sorry.
Central Market.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I'm hearing sound over here and I'm just trying to drown it out. Yes, thank you. Central Market. I've said that word at least 100 times in the past 2 weeks. Chief Phillips really has demonstrated, both he and his team, not only the ability to go the extra mile to really discern what the facts are and the circumstances, but throughout all of it, holding our Constitution paramount as the guiding principle in working to manage what could easily have turned into a real serious crisis, reaching out in a proactive manner to the interest groups that were there to exercise their First Amendment rights, and to do so in a manner that received laudable praise from the folks and all the stakeholders in our community, not only the participants in the protests, the prosecutor's office, our police department, as well as a number of other individuals that are behind the scenes that were very important to us. The potential for what could have went sideways turned out, thanks to the police department, Mill Creek leaders, in a mutually respectable environment where even if parties disagreed with each other, it was made clear to them early on that they would have an opportunity to participate meaningfully in exercising their free speech rights, while also honoring a protection order that the supermarket obtained from a court a couple of days before. We fully expect that we will continue to observe, particularly on weekends, groups exercising their First Amendment rights. If they conduct themselves the way they did this past weekend, I think we're going to be in really good shape to be once again a model for how community policing in the 21st century is done. And I really want to thank Chief Phillips, Acting Chief Phillips, Sergeant Thompson, and the entire Mill Creek Police Department for what I saw as some of the very best community policing, proactive policing that I've ever been a part of. Chief Phillips, thank you. And if you have a few comments, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, City Manager. As you'd mentioned, this is going to only be a continue of what we expect to be just managing an ongoing issue. And only through significant support from our elected officials and the city executive administrative staff were we allowed and afforded the opportunity and the latitude to do the job that was necessary to safeguard the community. And I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by subject matter experts and professionals that afforded us, again, an opportunity to do what was in the best interest for the community, but also afford the folks that were there to protest every opportunity to feel heard and validated. And I think we were fortunate to be supported in the capacity that we were. And I'm just grateful to the city manager specifically for the work and effort he put forward to support me and my staff to make sure that we were given the platforms necessary to communicate to the community and to all of the community stakeholders what our expectations were and the way in which we could support both them, their private interests, and support the Constitution. So it was an event that, while difficult to manage, I think it was done in a manner which was in keeping with the highest standards and surrounded by consummate professionals. So very fortunate, very lucky, and thank you to the city manager for your support.
I think it's important for everyone to have a little context. I mean, we had two protests go on the preceding two weekends, and I believe both times Central Market shut down for a period of time, as did Starbucks. And it was, I believe, on Tuesday of last week that the city manager and I got an email from, or an email via the website portal from Bill Wehmer, the president, or the president of Town and Country Markets, the owners of Central Market, very concerned about the upcoming protest that was scheduled for this past Sunday. And that kicked off a series of meetings that we had. I'm trying to think who all was on there. City manager, Sergeant Phillips, then Acting Chief Phillips. We had four representatives from our prosecutor's firm that does our prosecutions. We had Grant, we had myself and Mayor Pro Tem. And then we had, I think, four or five representatives from Town and Country markets, including their outside council. And this was particularly concerning for them. I was not aware of this. They were really concerned about the potential of shutting down again. They're getting ready to invest $6 million in remodeling Central Market next year. And so with the threat of these protests coming in, and the protests were primarily by the Free Breathers group, and they'd recently, this past week, indicated that they plan to protest every Sunday for the foreseeable future. Everyone did a great job getting ready, and I think everything took a little turn when, I think it was Thursday morning, when we got wind that the Proud Boys militia group planned to join the market, or join the protest, which added a bit of uncertainty what was going to transpire. But from everything I've been told, everything went off without a hitch. And I just wanted to compliment Sergeant Phillips. Sergeant Phillips, you really impressed me with the way you held yourself. You answered some tough questions that the representatives from Central Market put to you. You handled them gracefully and very with a lot of knowledge. And you represented the city very well. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Good job, Bobby. I appreciate that. Thank you.
The whole team did a fantastic job. We got, city manager and I got an email from Bill Wehmer late in the day on Sunday, and he was very happy with the way things transpired. So let's hope we've deterred them from coming back. I don't think we'll know for another week or so, but I just want to say that the entire police department, everyone involved, Michael, your staff, did a fantastic job. We're proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you again, Mayor. And again, if there's an opportunity for me to just reflect back that without the support of the city manager and the elected staff, yourself and the Mayor Pro Tem being as supportive as you were, we would not have had the success that we did. So again, thank you. And again, to the city manager for all the support.
City manager, floor is still yours.
Mayor Pro Tem,
I wanted to say a couple words.
Yep.
I know. Sorry. I hate that I can't see everyone. It's really driving me insane. But I just wanted to also back up all the things that the mayor had said, and just really, I want to make sure that we go on the record that, you know, this was a very tense situation. It had a lot of potential to escalate. And I think that Acting Chief Phillips and Sergeant Thompson and all of our police force that was out that day, they deserve a round of applause and just encouragement, because just the ability that they took to de-escalate a situation showed their training, and just the community policing that they did to get out and talk to everyone involved and make sure that they realized that they were seen and that they were heard, I'm sure went a long way to de-escalate the situation. And in the end, it was a successful day, and I'm sure having different groups who opposed each other standing there across from each other could have turned into something more. And I just want to make sure that they know how much we appreciate them, and they did an excellent job, and just want to make sure that everybody is acknowledging that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor, with your permission, I'll continue. Thank you. As council will note on the consent agenda this evening, we did not add minutes. The last council meeting, the minutes were pulled while we developed a further discussion relating to what degree of detail was appropriate. I hear that the historical trend has been over providing details to under providing, and I heard at least some members of council at the last meeting characterize what we had developed as being ideal. I did not want to just put the minutes back on until we've had a conversation so that we can discern if this is still the council's intention. In that regard, thanks to Director Todd, he forwarded over articles which I attached to council for the agenda. One is from the MRSC titled Less is More, Action Minutes Serve the City Best. And the other from Jurassic Parliament titled Minutes Record What Is Done, Not What Is Said. We have attempted to follow that principle as a guiding principle as we've put together the minutes. I didn't want to presumptuously just put the minutes right back on the way they were though, until we get a clearer direction from council as to what the consensus is. We'll have those prepared as well as these meeting minutes for the next session.
I would suggest that we just have a brief agenda item for the next meeting where we can have any conversation on this. I haven't had a chance to review those articles. I don't know if other council members did, but I don't think we need a long discussion, but let's just make this an agenda item for the next meeting.
Very good. And what's left is really the planning schedule, calling everyone's attention. Nothing has changed for the December 1st, 2020 agenda. For the December 8th, we're going to be adding a item on as it relates to a contract amendment for one of our contractors. Director Todd is working hard to put together information to make sense. This is another example of a contract where it just was allowed to exceed the $50,000 limit, and we're doing our diligence on that. Our expectation is it will be ready on December 8th for the presentation. So I have an outstanding question relating to the December 22nd council meeting and whether or not it's the will of council to cancel that agenda because of the holiday that week. And I have nothing further, Mayor.
Let's see after this week what the agendas for the first two meetings shape up to be like, and then we can make a decision as to whether or not we'll need the 22nd. Does that sound good to everyone? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that all the reports from staff, Michael?
Just one additional. Our finance director submitted the responses that Councilman Steckler had, and we just wanted to confirm that there's no further questions relating to that. And then Director Todd is going to talk about the Snohomish County Committee Improved Transportation District update.
Thank you, City Manager. I'm going to propose what I was going to report on is that Senator Hobbs made a presentation to the Snohomish County Committee on Improved Transportation, as we call SCIT, on Tuesday. That was very interesting, talking about the upcoming legislative session. And we also talked about regional priority projects. I propose that given that the hour is late and you still have more on your agenda, I'd be happy to move this probably 5-minute item to December 1st, if you prefer. It's not time sensitive. I do think it's important that council have a chance to hear this before the leg session starts in January, but we could easily defer that if that's the will of the group.
Yeah, Mayor, if I might interject, our session, executive session, I don't anticipate it will take longer than 10 minutes. If it's a will of council, our agendas for the remainder of this month, remainder of December might get crowded. So if it's okay, Mayor, Director Todd, why don't you present this evening, please?
Okay, thank you. I will. So I'm going to share my screen real quick. I'm going to try to share my screen real quick. There we go. Share it again. So this is the, can everybody see that 2021 regional priority projects piece of paper there? I'll send this out. This is, it says draft stage, but it's very close. This is something that's been put together by SCIT, Economic Alliance, and Snohomish County, and all the cities over the last few years. Has been very helpful in how we approach the state legislature about the importance of regional transportation projects. It's a lot of projects. The ones that are really important to Mill Creek are not specifically in Mill Creek. These are all bigger projects, but there's things that are important as we talk to, as we, Mill Creek and all the other cities and throughout Snohomish County, make sure we make our pitch in Olympia to not forget Snohomish County, how important transportation is. Here's Mill Creek in the middle. Let me do it this way. This is the orange line that's being done by Community Transit to connect us with light rail in Linwood in 2024. This here, I'm gonna make a mess of this. This here is the, this right here is the bus rapid transit. Will be on 405. It's also gonna help people get to Linwood light rail or get go on down towards Bellevue and Kirkland. This project here, K, is adding lanes to 405. Remember, it stops, the extra HOV lanes stop at the county line, and this has been a bottleneck between Buffalo River Highway and the county line, so they've got a project in there. There's a new intersection they've got planned here at 128th and I-5, new intersection planned at 164th and I-5. This is the existing green line. This is a future BRT line. The point is there's a lot of stuff happening around Mill Creek that is going to affect us long term. Now, this is all a wish list. These are all big, expensive projects. But I'll forward this to you and have the staff put this on our website for the community's edification on what's going on in terms of transportation. We heard that first, and then we went to, I'll stop sharing that to get out of the way. Then we heard from Senator Hobbs, and he was there as our guest. Remember, Senator Hobbs is doing two jobs right now. He's the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, is getting ready for the next legislative session, but he's also a commander with the National Guard and has been doing good work distributing food throughout the state to communities that have asked for his help and the National Guard's help. And so it was nice to be able to congratulate him and thank him for that in person via Zoom and also hear what he wanted to say about the legislative sessions coming up. He pointed out it's going to be a challenging year. Revenues are down, but there's higher needs. It's the same old kind of thing. And this is going to be a tough session. He's looking at probably a $500 million shortfall in the transportation budget over what they would have expected just a few months ago. People are traveling less. Gas tax revenue, therefore, is down because people aren't buying fuel because they're not driving as much. And so they're seeing that as being a potential problem. There's a need now. You've heard us talk before about the culverts. There's a federal mandate to remove the fish blocking culverts. $600 million this year, that's part of $3.7 billion over the next few years that just the state has to do. And he understands that the cities and the counties also have those. So that extra is going into it. So 500 million short, 600,000 more for culverts. And they've also upping the numbers for maintenance and preservation because maintaining a state of good repair for our existing highways, county roads, city roads is important. He's putting together a new package. This year it's called Forward Washington. It's similar to what he put together a couple of years ago that didn't go forward. He's on the Senate side, Senate Transportation Committee. The House Transportation Committee run by Jake Fye is also putting together a package. And minority caucuses in both of the two chambers are putting together packages. So lots of people are thinking about transportation. All will have the struggle of not enough money to do all the things everybody wants to do. He's making a pitch for his package. We'll hear more about it. It's close to being ready for press, but of course he's working his angles. But in general, he's looking at reforms on how they streamline some of the permitting, particularly these culverts are very difficult to get permitted. As you remember, one of the late things we did as a city on 35th Avenue was to change from the round culverts to a box culvert so we wouldn't have to tear up the bridge in a couple of years. Remember how hard it was to get that through the Corps of Engineers and the tribes and all that stuff. States trying to look at how they can streamline that process and make it easier for all of us. Looking at the big projects, the Columbia River crossing down between Vancouver and Portland is on there. Of course, our Highway 2 trestle is there. And if you've heard that sucking sound recently, it's the city of Seattle looking for money to fix the West Seattle Bridge. And so one reason we've got this list put together, one reason we're trying to stay strong as Snohomish County, is to make sure that Seattle doesn't suck all the money out of the system for their West Seattle Bridge, which is indeed an important project, but it shouldn't trump the other things that are important on our list. He would say in the bottom line of his package, it's a benefit to the environment. He's got things that help the environment. It produces a lot of jobs. Of course, the trick is all these things involve dealing with taxes in some fashion, which nobody wants to deal with. One of the little tidbits is the electrification of the single occupancy vehicle fleet was only a couple of years ago predicted to be 10 to 12 years out. Now they're thinking 5 to 7 years out. The car manufacturers are making great strides in making battery-powered or battery-powered slash hybrid cars more accessible and more cost-effective for people to buy. But that means that, again, the gas tax is going away. So there'll be lots of discussions about this. We'll keep you apprised as you hear more about this. But in general, as electeds, it's important that you help inform the community about the importance of transportation and help support our elected officials as they do the tough battle down there. Nobody's going to be popular. Nobody is going to have an easy time of it, but it is important for us to look out for transportation as it affects the citizens in here in Mill Creek when they go out to jobs or school or recreational kinds of things and try to get back home. So no big projects for Mill Creek, but projects all around us that are going to impact us over the next couple of years. I encourage you to keep an eye out for that. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Mayor, that's it. We have nothing else.
Okay. We are at the last item before our executive session, audience communication. Anyone would like to speak to the council on an item on the agenda or not on the agenda? See Barb's hand. So Barb, you get to go first. Name and address in 3 minutes, please.
Barb Heidel, 1401 144th Place, Southeast, Mill Creek. First, I look forward to meeting our new police chief. Welcome, Chief Young. Second, thank you to the staff for all their hard work on the 2021-22 budget. I especially want to thank Jeff Malentine, who took time out to meet with me and go over some questions I had about the budget. I totally appreciate the time. Thank you. Lastly, I want to wish everyone a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
Barb.
You're welcome.
Anyone else like to speak to the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, the council is now going to recess to executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.140, subsection 4. To discuss the ongoing negotiation of a collective bargaining agreement. No action will be taken following the executive session. Michael, 10 minutes, will that suffice?
Yes, Mayor.
We'll adjourn. It's 8:40 by my watch, so we'll be going till 8:50. I believe that Naomi is gonna send us off into another room.
Yeah, and can Naomi or someone text me a number to call into that, since apparently my internet's still down?
We'll do, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you.
Def, did you pay your bill?
Of course we paid the bill.
I'm just waiting to see if I'm going to be able to pull this off as well as my second grader.
Apparently Comcast's having issues in Mill Creek. It's on their website. So we're lucky we have as many people in as we are.
Yeah, of course it decides to have issues in the Nova City Council meeting. I've never had it do this really before.
Sounds like it's time to switch to Ziply.
Maybe.
You get sent to another room. I still see other people on the...
Yeah, there's a bar on top that says the host opened a breakout room. This says it on me.
I don't have that. I don't have it.
Yeah. It says we haven't been assigned yet, so probably she just has to do that.
Oh, maybe that's right. Oh,
there we go. I got a join thing.
Adam, do we have to go out and come back?
No, I don't. I don't know how that happened because I had it pre-assigned.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
I thought it was pretty fun.
yeah, I know. It
okay, good.
Did you see her call in?
Well, I moved her.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
So she's in.
Oh, okay, so we did it. But I thought I had it pre-assigned. You know what? I
don't think. Call their support and see what the hell.
No, I think if I schedule a meeting already, mm-hmm. I don't think I could make that breakout room.
Like after
I sent. So you sent the invite out, and then you made some changes, and you're thinking that doesn't work.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. Unless I just did it wrong. Okay, so maybe, they were really waiting on me because I have to do this and assign it too. And it doesn't matter if they're on the phone, because then they'll just stay on the phone.
Yeah.
So she doesn't need a number.
So that's the everyone in that. Okay, good.
So they don't, even if they don't see, they all saw it though. Because all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Quite a meeting, eh?
Hi, everyone. I was just informed that they need 5 more minutes. Executive session has been extended 5 more minutes with no exception. You're a trooper, man.
See it to the, we'll see it to the bitter end.
That's right. That's
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
Okay.
does take us back to the regular meeting, doesn't it?
Well, it does take us back. So we adjourned the executive session moments ago at 8:49, and I will now adjourn the regular meeting at 8:50.
Bobby Phillips, good job, Bobby. Good job during this interim. Thank you.
All the way to the end.
All the way. Good job, Bobby.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.
Same.
Take care, everyone.